This is the Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Big Show on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day as the Winnipeg Jets are in St. Louis to take on the Blues tonight to kick off the post-All-Star festivities part of the schedule. Hustler has a gondola pizza warm-up at 2 o'clock this afternoon, then H&L will follow from 3 till 6. Rick Ralph will have the Manitoba Building Trades Winnipeg Jets pregame show, and then the Jets and the Blues tonight on TSN 1290 at 7 p.m. Followed all up, all of it, I should say, followed up by Huron Windows Winnipeg Jets post-game show as the NHL returns to the regular season schedule after a weekend in Hollywood, celebrating the All-Stars and everything else that goes on. This is the Big Show on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. Jim Tilth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki, and gentlemen, hockey's back tonight.
Shut the front door.
You guys look like it's Christmas.
Almost forget. That's the way I feel inside, man. I almost forget the way it feels to watch a hockey game. That is way too long of a break. This is basically, what's it been, like 5-6 days of torture. I don't want anything to do with this. No more of this crap. And now the cool thing is, boys, we don't take a break now till June sometime, right? That's good here. Yeah. So we got to dig in and have some fun. But that was way too long of a break. I can't stand it.
Yeah, minus the bye week. Minus the bye week coming up in February.
Well, at least we get other games to watch, though, right?
Other than that, we're good to go. And this is the fun time, right?
Yeah.
NHL, well, NHL.
In theory, it should be.
All right. I will echo that statement.
Well, regardless, it's going to be fun, at least for us, I think. Find out what happens. They can go 2 of 3, the Jets, for the next 10 games.
You like that, huh? Yeah.
A guy tweeted at us last night, gentlemen, that said the reporters on the panel, the four of them with Dave Hodge, two of them put the Jets to turn this around and make the playoffs. 2 of 4.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's out there.
Until Dallas trades for Bishop.
Yeah.
Or something.
I guess. Yeah. Dallas is hanging around there, too. And it's going to be real interesting. That's what I'll say, is that that's how it's going to go. And the reporters on TSN, 2 of 4, Naylor and Dave Hodge, picked the Jets to make the playoffs last night.
Sweet.
On their program.
That means goaltending settles down and takes a bit of a step.
Funny you should mention that. That is a great segue. To us talking about the Winnipeg Jets yesterday. Return to practice yesterday afternoon, 2 p.m. was the practice time out at the Iceplex. So news broke shortly after 3:30, I guess, when head coach Paul Maurice, lots to get to here with the lineup and who's injured and who's not, but he made the announcement yesterday that Andre Pavlik will get the start back in net for the Winnipeg Jets tonight heading into St. Louis. And his direct quote was, as I look it up here, oh, we have it. Well, let's just listen to the head coach announce Andre Pavlik returning to the net tonight as the starter in St. Louis.
Yeah, Pav's playing tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
I liked his numbers. Pav had really good numbers against St. Louis. The San Jose game, he made good saves. The one he didn't, I didn't think he had much of a chance on with 2 backdoors. And so I liked where his game's at. I also want Connor to keep working. I want him to get out of the extremes of his performance and get a real solid work days and then feel good about himself. And then he kind of mentally recharged the next time he gets back into the net. So Pav's going.
Those numbers that Paul Maurice is talking about for Pavlik against St. Louis, he is 5-6-1 in 12 games, has a .241 goals against, .927 save percentage, and 1 shutout in the 12 games he's played against the St. Louis Blues.
Huh.
What do you make of those comments? Is this like sitting down, making a decision, or is this, it just seems to me, and I don't know what's going on with Connor Hellebuyck. Not that there's anything drastic other than just normal growth spurts as you enter a regular spot in the National Hockey League. But does it seem to me they clearly want to make him work for stuff now, as opposed to just sort of, we had training camp, you're our starter, here we go.
I don't know, man, because I don't know what purpose that serves. He's sitting there knowing that Pav is probably going to be out the door right away. So and worked for it. Did he not? If that's what it is, didn't he work for it in Chicago against Chicago? So it's just I don't know what that. This is strange to me. Are they maybe showcasing Pav and hoping he does something here in the next few games to maybe get something for him in a trade or something. This is even more strange than going running Pav back to back to me. Like this is a real head scratch. Going, boy, I can't even reach for pieces to put together to make this puzzle fit.
No, because the puzzle's missing half the pieces, and the puzzle pieces that are there are from a different puzzle too. So you're trying to put together a picture that doesn't even make sense here. Like it is beyond head scratching. It's a move that just I don't think it makes any sense. I really don't get it, because the back to back to me that didn't make sense, more so because of the numbers that Pavlik owned playing in the second end of a back-to-back, which is, I mean, like, that's not his fault, right? Like, when a player struggles in a certain situation, that's up to the coach or someone else to remove the player from that set and have them, you know, play in a situation that's applicable to the best of their abilities here. But at least then you could say, well, Hellebuck had been pulled in back-to-back games and we're working on getting his confidence in his game back. Like, I didn't agree with it at all, but at least you can kind of make a case for it here. But Hellebuck got back into the crease against Chicago and got you a win when you needed it desperately. And he was a big part of you getting that win. And you had all this time off here, so you would think that he had time to work on things. And then you flip the script on him. And I really don't understand the thought process here. And that's the troubling thing, right? Results and process are two different things here. And the process to me is something that I'm not totally on board with, and I don't really get where the coaching staff is going with this.
Well, and there are several things that, you know, could come up here that we're unaware of, and there are several things that are maybe there that are positive, but I honestly thought Connor Hellebuck was going to get the start again, but I don't know. I don't know what goes on in the meetings. I don't know what's being said. I don't know. I didn't think Hellebuck was perfect by any means. And the Pavlik thing is, like I said, I think he's played fine. I don't think there's anything that warrants him not coming out of the lineup unless somebody outplays him. And I thought Hellebuck was fine. Like, I guess I don't know where if it's the inner push to drive Hellebuck, if there's still things he needs to work on mentally as well as his game that they want to get to in practice. And maybe they want to use this 10 days or 10 games, 30 days with Pavlik to sort of ease Hellebuck back in. And we see him on Thursday and then, you know, sort of up use this time that they have with a veteran experienced NHL goaltender in their realm. And then the other question is also hanging around that, you know, what about Michael Hutchinson? Like, is he just not going to start again or dress again for a game? It's real interesting. Like I said, I fully expected Pavlik to back up, Connor Hellebuck to get the start, try and build some momentum with him and go forward. But then the other aspect of it is, gentlemen, is they just need to win games. And maybe Maurice honestly feels this gives him the best chance to win the game, given what he said about the San Jose. Like, he didn't blame him for any of the goals. He played four in a row, gave Hellebuck one, and he's going back with the goalie that he just generally, and it could be close between the two. It could be far between the two, but he just feels it's as simple as I just feel like he's played well against St. Louis already this year, like a couple games ago, and I'm going with a guy that I feel just, however slight or however big the margin, gives me a better chance.
There's a lot of ifs in what you just said, right? Like, it was lambasted with ifs. Who knows what they're thinking? It doesn't make a pile of sense. And I'm trying to, as the morning will progress, it's interesting about doing this show when things hit you first thing in the morning. And as the hours go by, sometimes you're able to formulate a little bit more of an understanding and or an opinion. But this is an interesting one. And what we're at game six here for Pavlik, right? So he's got four left to be here after this game before things get complicated. And this is just another interesting piece of the situation.
Yeah. Well, and I guess if you want to try and grab an initial reaction out of it, you know, they talk about needing wins here at this point, right? And trying to get back into the playoff race. And this game against the Blues is maybe the biggest must win because they're the team you're chasing right now for one of those two wildcard spots. So, I mean, you can try and massage the whole psychological aspect of where they are with Hellebuck and Pavlik and that sort of thing, but doesn't this basically come down to Paul Maurice thinks Pavlik over Hellebuck gives him the best chance to win this game? Like, isn't that just kind of the base
thing
we can take from
it? If this has nothing to do with the continued development of Connor Hellebuck.
I think that's the base of all the games for Pavlik. I think Paul Maurice just feels when he called him up and played him four games and, you know, gave Hellebuck a game. And now with this, I think that's all it's based on. I don't think it's basing on much else than I just need a guy to get me a win, and I feel this is the guy to do it.
And if that's the case, then I got big-time problems with it. And then it just kind of goes back to the just really, really head-scratching decisions this coaching staff has been making lately. And I really don't get it. And I don't think it's the right move, and hopefully it doesn't backfire for them tonight and Pav can go in there and have a good game. But I don't really understand the logic in not putting Hellebuck back in there.
Yeah,
I really don't get it.
I don't accept what Jim's saying there as being the reason. I think there has to be more to this than what meets the eye. And there often is in this business, right, behind the scenes and that sort of thing. I've got to think that. To put a guy in net who's playing okay, but the bottom line is has a .894 save percentage in his games. And I know the St. Louis numbers, you know, that you read out for the last 12 games sound impressive, but you're going back a long ways, or they're going back a long ways in offering those up. In his last two starts, like this year and last year, he's 1-1 against them. Last year allowed four goals and a .902 save percentage. This year had the .919, but it just doesn't seem to add up. It's really weird. So that makes me go to this is more related to the development ongoing here at Connor Hellebuck.
Well, and that, I agree. I think, like when I say I think that's the base of it, I think that's the overall base of why he's gotten any games, and then everything else weighs in on top of that. This is an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day as the Jets are in St. Louis to take on the Blues tonight, 7 o'clock here on TSN 1290. This is a big show. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki with you this morning. Well, let me ask you guys this, and just plain and simple. Since he's been called up, he's played four games. Hellebuck's played one. Has one outplayed the other? Has one been better overall than the other one?
Well, that's a tough question to ask because you're talking about a one-game performance compared to four?
Well, and the same reason I brought up the St. Louis numbers is I'm just going off what Maurice is saying. Like, he gives us our best chance to win, and I really like his numbers against St. Louis. So I look up the number against St. Louis.
And they're good. They're so good against St. Louis, but the numbers in his back-to-back are terrible.
But going back 8 years or 5 years serves zero purpose for Pav, too, right?
No, I'm just going off what Paul Maurice. I agree with you guys. He said it's based on the numbers and the best chance to win. So then I wonder, did Hellebuck outplay Pavlik? Did Pavlik outplay Hellebuck?
Well, in his last game, Hellebuck in the one game, and I hate using save percentage for one game events, but it's all if you're asking me over Pavlik's four games or Hellebuck's one game, that's what you're asking me to compare?
Yeah, like just in this span since Pavlik's been here this year.
There wasn't a soft goal in that game against Chicago, and he stopped 38-41 for a .927. But Andre Pavlik has got an .894 save percentage right now. And we've seen a few soft ones in his, or three for sure soft ones in his four game, whatever this has been, marching him up there for
four game, yeah.
Yeah, like whatever this, I don't know what to call this stint, right? But in the four games, this is what we've seen, three soft goals, .894 save percentage, or Connor Hellebuck looks like he's back on track. I'm going to take a guy that looks like he's back on track.
Yeah, and like I don't know if it's fair to do that comparison just because, I mean, we know Hellebuck can play good in one game. It's, you know, how many good ones can you string together, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think I necessarily compare the two. It's just interesting to me because in that back-to-back situation, Maurice ignores the numbers and says, I like the way he's playing, you know, kind of going with the gut feeling into the Gibby page of managing your players there. So he won't look at the numbers in one situation. But then you go into a different situation, and yeah, you know, we are going to go with the number. Like it's like you're distorting the facts to kind of fit how you want to go with the goaltending situation here, it feels like to me.
But what's the only thing that would counter that then? Is that it's something related to Connor Hellebuck's development, like something specific
they're
still working on?
But then he goes into Chicago and almost stops 40 pucks and gives the Jets a chance to win that hockey, gives them a chance at the very least to come back late in that hockey game. So, like, that's... I just don't get where this team is going with this. And if you want to develop the goalie, well, you develop him by playing him and putting him in some of these tough situations here where a little bit of tough love, right? Like, go in there, all right? You lost that one for us in a big game. Well, guess what? That's part of being in the NHL. Next time we're in that situation, how are you going to improve on that? How are you going to perform after kind of, you know, not helping the team out for victory there? But you don't really get that situation because you have Maurice. I don't know. I get, all I can go with right now is that he thinks Pavlik gives his team the best chance to win.
What about a showcase possibility?
Yeah, and I just don't think that's the time for it right now.
Yeah, I don't
like
think
if
it's
you
showcase
if you
time.
Want to like if you,
you
go
win
if,
games.
If you go 1-2 with Hellebuck in this week, like just throwing hypotheticals out there, you have a one win in three games this week, and the playoffs are kind of, you know, maybe more officially out of the picture. Then yeah, showcase him for a trade and play him three games in a row after that.
The only thing is when you're saying you don't know if it's time for that, you're talking about five games remaining to maybe do that, or to let Pavlik shine a little bit here. So there is no other time but right now, right?
Yeah.
As far as seeing him in the NHL before you move him, maybe.
Yeah, and I don't know. I feel like four games before was maybe enough of a I know the numbers aren't great, but maybe that's a showcase for you there. I just feel like if you want to win games, why not give Connor Hellebuck the chance when he was the guy you tapped before the season started to be, you know, a potential starter for your team, and you're just taking that opportunity away from him?
You're also, if you want to like go back and forth on this, you brought Pav up. He goes in, plays decently, right? You sit him down for a game. Pav probably thinks he's done going back down, that he's not. And bam, you give him another chance. So does this ignite something in Pav to go out there and play out of his mind again? This isn't something we don't. There's so many questions and possibilities here. All we can do is rummage through them.
Is a great point. Right? I think that's a great point. I think whatever's being done, it's Paul Maurice trying to drive whoever's going to get the start to be really, really good that night and win a game because he's desperate for wins. And around everything else and the development of Connor Hellebuck and, you know, everything else is just that. Like, we've got to help this young goalie and both of them, give him some time. But at the same time, I got to win games. And there's so many factors that probably weigh into his decision. It's real interesting trying to figure out what they are going forward. Pavlik will start tonight. We'll talk much more as Matthew Perreault, Drew Stafford skated, will travel with the team. Doesn't look like they'll play tonight. More stuff on the lineup, and we'll hear from some of the Jets as well at the bottom of the hour. But up next, we'll talk some media day at Super Bowl 51 on Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN 1290. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Welcome back to The Big Show on TSN 1290, TSN1290.ca, Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Yes, the All-Star break is over, and the Blues will host the Jets tonight, 7 o'clock. On TSN 1290, this is The Big Show. Jim Tilt, Trey Westwood, Brandon Ruicki. Weird yesterday, media night. So they brought out the Super Bowl teams last night to meet the media. See that fake Tom Brady head again walking around?
That's creepy as the Dickens, huh?
Yeah. Real creepy. And how he keeps brushing his fake hair.
Uh-huh.
Like walking around, and it's real creepy. Media day is always a gong show to me. And it's more interesting to see. There's two things I look for: the dumbest question on the planet, and also Michael Irvin in somebody's face yelling at him, like Julio Jones yesterday, and some other people as well. Anything stand out to you guys for Media Day other than it being another gong show with some of the questions?
What's
the weirdest question you got as a football player?
Oh, nothing ever weird. Nothing weird enough I remember, anyway. Canadian press maybe a little bit different, the whole situation different. I thought the Brady thing, listening to things related to his dad, right, was interesting. And the whole people wondering now whether or not, like, do they work together? Are they in cahoots with this? Or, you know, or is he telling the old man to zip it up a little bit? I thought interesting Bennett come out and saying that he wouldn't go to the White House because of Trump. None of the other guys really wanted to talk about it. And, yeah, that's about it. It's pretty benign and it's kind of cool, but also kind of useless, right?
Yeah, that's exactly. It's something. I mean, Husser and Lawless cover it, you know, almost yearly, and it's one of those things that you should probably see, but I don't know if you get anything from it. I don't, anyways. Including the ridiculous questions. That's my next question, gentlemen. And we're going to talk about this at 6:45, just because it's making news in the sports world as well with Donald Trump and some of the things he's doing as president of the United States. Does this? I mean, Tom Brady said he's not going to talk politics. I doubt Belichick will ever address it. But is this a distraction in the room? Because there has to be some Patriots players there going, just what most of the free world's doing and some of the athletes in the NBA. This is insane, what's going on with our president. And fully knowing that Tom Brady's brought him into the locker room, Bill Belichick's wrote him a letter and friends. And I'm not saying you can't be friends with whoever you want, but a locker room is diverse as it is, but with what's going on this first 11 days under President Trump, this has to, you know, at least be a conversation in the locker room.
Well, I think this would be a, I don't think it's a distraction, but I think it's something that could be divisive in the locker rooms. But I would think guys would just not talk about it. Right? There's going to be certain people in there, you would think a shrinking percentage of players that would back Trump. And then probably a pretty good majority back anything else, pretty much. And I would just think, you know, everyone's in there. And even I wouldn't be surprised if a coach, you know, a head coach would come out and early on during this process say, hey, guys, we're here for football. Let's keep it about football. Any of your political things, you just don't want things to get heated in the locker room, right? And there's plenty of debate and discussion like that that happens in a locker room. So you know it's there, but I think guys just push it aside and take care of business.
Interesting stuff. And Media Day, once again, took place last night as Super Bowl 51 gets rolling. We'll have that for you on Sunday as well on TSN 1290. But it is an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day, Jets and Blues. We'll talk more about the game and hear from some of the players and head coach Paul Maurice next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Big shout out to Andy Ruwicki and all the great guys and gals out of Selkirk Chrysler. What the heck is with all this snow? Take your vehicle off-road with the 2016 Ram truck. Blowout sale right now going on at Andy Ruwicki Selkirk Chrysler. 2016 Ram 1500 SLT quad cab Hemi with 8-speed auto transmission. All the fine luxuries in the vehicle. Check more information out at SelkirkChrysler.com. Selkirk Chrysler, just a slap shot north to Winnipeg.
Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day today as the Jets are in St. Louis. 7 o'clock, Paul Edmonds and Brian Munns will have the puck drop for you right here on TSN 1290. TSN 1290.ca, the Gondola Pizza warm-up show with Hustler goes at 2. At 3, it's H&L. And then, of course, the Manitoba Building Trades Winnipeg Jets pregame show with Rick Ralph and his crew at 6 o'clock. And the Huron Windows Winnipeg Jets postgame show will wrap it all up for you after puck drop. Or the final whistle, and the game is over here on TSN 1290. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki with you on The Big Show. We want to hear from Paul Maurice. Matthew Perreault had some comments. I know a lot of people asking over the past week why Corey Perry was not suspended for the slash on Matthew Perreault. This is interesting, though. Yesterday, our good friend Andrew Hustler Patterson talked about Ryan Kesler's kid taking a penalty shot at the All-Star game.
Uh-huh.
And I was sitting here listening to this, and I thought, man, if that was me, there'd be a Twitter handle out there. Jim hates kids, which I don't, but I did agree with Andrew Hustler Patterson.
Really?
I have no problem with the kids on the ice. Brent Burns had his daughters out on the ice. Take part in it. You want to be in the locker room at the All-Star game? I have no problem with it. It's an All-Star game. It's meant for fun and activities. What makes you think I want to watch your kid take a penalty shot? Like, seriously, I mean, have the kid on the ice and everything else. But, and then I'm thinking to the people in the stands and probably some Ducks fans going, man, I can't wait for Ryan Kesler's penalty shot. I hope he helps team whatever win. I hope he puts up some points. And the pressure on Carey Price, he has to let that in. There are points on the line. And not only that, but then Kessler's shooting it on his phone like he can't contact the Kings, the National Hockey League, whatever to get a copy of this of his kid on a much better angle shooting this penalty shot?
Are you the Grinch of babies or what?
And here's my other point, and I thought Husser made a valid point. So what if, okay, whatever, everybody said, and when it happened, a lot of people said, oh, isn't that cute? And I agree, it was cute. But then I thought, what are we doing here? And then I thought, well, what if Brett Burns wants his daughter to take his penalty shot?
Yeah, you got to draw the line somewhere.
Like, where do you draw the line? So why is Kessler and his kid, the one of all the kids that were on the ice and all the families that were there, get to take the penalty shot on national television for everyone to watch when nobody really paid or tuned in to watch Ryan Kessler's kid take a penalty shot?
No, instead they paid or tuned in to watch a sad, half-assed skills competition in a shootout and breakaway. None of those guys not even wearing helmets, not skating down. It's all the goalies are half-assed, the shooters are half-assed. I might take more enjoyment. Put all the kids out there. Put a couple of them in net and let the kids go at it. We can watch kids trying, actually, on these breakaways instead of these multimillionaires just lollygagging their way down the ice and just completely not being invested in this. I'm just shocked. When I was taking one of Trey's kids or picking him up to bring him over, and when I heard us talking about this, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing coming out of the radio. And I'll give it my perspective as a dad and say this. In Winnipeg, because of some of my experience, I have the luxury, and it's a tremendous luxury, of being able to take Trey to or expose Trey to things that most kids don't have the opportunity to do, right? Like certain situations. And once a year or so, maybe twice a year, I'll ask for favors to benefit Trey in that way so that he can have a life experience. And so I see it as Ryan Kessler, however the idea came up, there's a 99.8% chance that his son will never play in the NHL. And so you get, how old is he, 8 or 10 years old, you get a chance to put this kid on the ice in that uniform to shoot a penalty shot against Carey Price on national TV, like you're saying. It's a fantastic opportunity that little sucker will never, ever forget. And, yeah, what about all the other kids? Well, maybe Kessler was the first to ask for it, so they make an allowance here. I thought it was a wonderful thing. And actually, in all honesty, it was my favorite part of the shootout.
I'm surprised Mini Kessler just didn't two-hand one of the other kids at some point behind the play there.
Yes.
You know, like, that was my biggest
surprise. Or go down like somebody hacked him
look
on
at
the
that.
Penalty
he's,
shot.
He's played some mom. Legit hockey. Good for the kid. Good for him. But, like, you know, there's a pretty big contingent of the NHL fan base that is family-related, right?
Pretty dang big.
So, yeah, like well I mean, over half. I would argue a bigger portion of their fan base is family related as opposed to the crowd that Hus likes to roll in.
And especially in California, like they sell the game to families.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's how they get in the grassroots program growing and all that sort of thing. So, like, if one kid comes out there and takes a penalty shot in a game where nobody, or not even, this isn't even the game, we're talking about the skills competition. Like, you texted me last night and I didn't get to it till later in the night and I couldn't, it was such a stupid text that I didn't even really give it any thought because there was no way that actually happened. But apparently we're having this discussion that we shouldn't let a child have an opportunity, like Troy said, for some kind of a moment in his life that he'll probably never forget getting the chance to do that in front of a big crowd.
This kid can't get on the ice at every practice, at the end of practice. This kid can't get on the ice every day of his life with his dad on every rink if his dad wants him to. Like, and I'm serious. I'm laughing about this because it's funny, but I'm also serious. Like, what if Brett Burns' daughter wants to take one then? And then what if Carey Price had his kids there and he wants it? And then all of a sudden we're watching 4 hours of NHL stars' kids
easy.
Do skills competitions.
I don't just take it easy. That's you're really making that's making a mountain out of.
But that's not what happens. So we're not like if every kid goes out there and shoots, I guess it's an issue. But it didn't.
It didn't happen this year. So what happens next year?
Let them all shoot. Who cares? I don't care. We've never seen a shootout before. Half the guys didn't do any moves that we haven't seen before, anyways.
Of course, Twitter's lighting up with this. Len actually just tweeted me, agree with you 100%, and I have two kids. It annoyed me. It's that whole – it's as Husser said, and I agree, it's the old ultimate hockey dad. My kid should get to do this. I'm going to film him on my phone while the entire rest of the world watches this. I'm forced to watch my kid do this because it's going to be a cute little 10-second video on my phone for me and my family.
Wow.
Like, you can't tell me there's not another all-star on there, whether they have kids or not, going, come on. Like, there are fans paying here to watch you, an NHL star, take a penalty shot – and now we have to – and I was – when I first saw it, I was like, wow, this is kind of – that's a cool moment for that kid.
But it's not
but then
serious
I thought
thing,
it's probably
it?
Not a cool moment for the 20,000 paying money to watch NHL stars do skills. And
at
that's,
least,
again, something I wouldn't do.
At least half of the people in there thought that was cute or adorable. If you have kids, you can relate to that for sure. And I dare say if you've ever had a little brother or a niece or a nephew or something like that, you should be able to relate to that to some degree.
I think Timbits hockey is the cutest thing I've ever seen in intermissions. I can't remember the last time I stayed in my seat and watched it.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
Like, I can't. I fully admit I have.
I watch it.
I have stayed and watched it, but I can't remember the last time when Timbits hockey came out, I stood there or sat there, glued in my seat and watched other kids, other parents' kids. Now, for the kids, I'm so happy for them that they get to do this. It's great for the experience
like
and their families, but I don't have to watch
it
at an intermission.
Your butt there. Yeah.
I don't have to watch it at an intermission. I can get up and leave.
Well, you could have got up and leave, I suppose, go get popcorn if you're at the arena and took offense to it or change
and I'll
the
take
channel.
This, I know we got to get to the Jets, but I'll take this one step further.
Oh boy.
About 2 summers ago, Husser and I were on a road trip watching baseball games. We got up in St. Louis, and while I'm waiting for him to get ready, I'm watching ESPN, SportsCenter, and it's the NBA playoffs. It's the summer. And the whole Steph Curry's daughter at the podium.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sitting here, and I sent this tweet out, and I got a couple guys, I think one from Winnipeg, going, well, you don't have kids, and that's why, and you don't get it, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, can you take your kid to work? You're telling me a 2-year-old girl is missing out a life opportunity to sit at a podium with her dad while guys are trying to make a deadline, and we have to wait an extra 10 minutes while the kid fumbles around with the microphone, and that's what an experience the kid deserves to have? As opposed to just, I can go do my 10 minutes of questions and leave.
That's a little different.
Like,
on
the ice is one thing, but I would love to see these post-game interviews at tables in the NBA cleaned up. Your kid isn't missing anything. In fact, your kid's annoyed he has to sit there with you while you answer questions and they don't know what's going on. And I don't hate kids. I'm just saying, what are we doing here? Like, we can't sit in this studio for 4 hours with kids.
I bring Trey here. He doesn't hang out in here, but he's
well.
He comes
yeah,
with me.
That's fine.
When
like
he,
he's not.
He wants to, yeah.
I mean, the whole aspect of the whole world going, oh, Steph Curry's daughter is so cute.
She's
adorable.
I'm not saying she isn't, but there
you are.
There are 20 reporters sitting there trying to file to a deadline uh-huh. and not getting the quotes they need while your kid fumbles with a microphone.
Well, those individuals have to. If Steph Curry wants his daughter there, they're gonna have to deal with that, right?
Well, I guess. And I guess we have to watch Ryan Kessler's kid take penalty shots if we want to watch the skills competition.
Hashtag Jim hates kids.
Anyway.
That's an all caps hashtag, too.
I agree.
That's not even like a
I don't hate him.
I don't hate him. Just don't have any sort of life-altering moments on my time.
Not on my time, on the world's time. People paid money.
If you paid money to watch Ryan Kessler take a penalty shot in an All-Star game,
and half-ass it. And that's the thing. It's not like they're out there trying. It's not a serious competition.
Don't you think Price should have saved it?
I would have pulled him. I wouldn't have even let him get the shot off.
I thought the kid did a great job. I mean, the 5-hole was there, obviously, but the kid did a great job of putting it right through. Yeah, and Price played it perfectly, right?
Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day here on the Big Show TSN 1290 TSN1290.ca now. Here's an update from head coach Paul Maurice on all the injuries. And I'll preference this with Stafford and Perreault did skate yesterday. Dano did as well prior to practice. Stafford and Perreault will go on the road trip with the team or are on the road trip with the team but aren't expected to play tonight. Here's Paul Maurice on an update with the injuries for the Winnipeg Jets.
Back skating, I'm hopeful that somewhere on this trip he may get back on the lineup. I'd be cautious about that, but he was far better today than I thought he would be. So both he and Drew Stafford are guys that we'll bring on the trip that are possible.
Ben Chiarot won't travel. He skated for the first time today, but won't make the trip because he won't get inside that window. Mark O'Donnell skated for the first time. He's still 2 weeks. Tyler's alternating days. We're hoping that when we get back, he'll get back on the ice. I can't tell you what it's going to look like, whether it's a practice or he's just out skating on his own, but that's what we're shooting for.
So that's an injury update from Paul Maurice. And Dano and Chiarot will not make the trip. Dano's about 2 weeks away. Myers, as you heard, is expected to hit the ice, whether it's on his own or at a pre-practice or at a practice. They'll evaluate that when they get home from this three-game road trip. Stafford and Perreault will make the trip, but neither will go tonight versus the Blues.
I guess the Tyler Myers thing, a lot of it is a mystery, and you know, whatever the personal situation, hopefully that has gotten better for him and the family, whatever well wishes out for whatever's going on there. And then the injury thing, you wonder, is the injury holding him back whatsoever? But that one's a real big-time mystery for a lot of people. Excited, though, to hear that Dano's only a couple weeks away.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about basically revamping your entire bottom six.
Yeah.
With, you know, even with Stafford, if you want to throw him in there, you know, Stafford and Dano, whatever mixture they're going to concoct down there. But it was interesting, too, with the Perreault situation where it kind of slipped out, broken finger. Huh. How'd you get a broken finger?
Thumb, wasn't it, or finger? Was it thumb?
He said finger. Okay, I don't know if it's, you know, whatever it is. Obviously, it's, you know, prohibiting him from getting a good grip on the stick there. But just interesting that the NHL seems to like to suspend based on result, and the result happened to be a broken bone, yet a serial offender gets to walk away free.
Well, we'll get into more Maurice later on in the program. Let's hear from Matthew Perreault on the Corey Perry slash that left him with a broken digit and unable to play again tonight versus the Blues.
Yeah, it was a little dirty, I would say. You know, he turned his stick over and kind of got me with the hook of his blade right under my glove. So it was, I mean, it's not like he was trying to make a play on the puck, really. He was coming at my hand, so it was dirty. But
what do you think of that, dude? Why did you do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's not something I would do. I know I don't make dirty plays like that. I play hard. I make hard plays on the puck, but I definitely don't appreciate that from him at all.
And you got it. It's important, I think, to remember, guys, where you see a lot of the standard slash with the blade and like facing, you know, as you typically hold a stick. Kessler actually flipped his stick and chopped down with the thin part of the edge of the blade. No question, with intent to hurt. How the NHL let that go, it's an absolute atrocity in a lot. And it's a fantastic example of just where the NHL is in how serious they're handling situations like that, where they're absolutely failing.
Yeah, and I thought this clip was funny, too, because I guess the reporters can see Perreault's finger when they're talking to him, and they asked him, has your fingernail fallen off yet? Because I guess he caught him up higher on the finger. And he's like, has your finger fallen off yet?
Not yet, but Doc said eventually it's going to fall out. So, yeah, it doesn't feel really good, but, I mean, it's, you know, it's a finger, so you know it can't get really anywhere. So you just got to deal with the pain.
So that was funny.
You know, I how does this happen? How isn't the Department of Safety getting inundated with stuff with this? Or, like, how do you avoid this?
Well, the only thing I can think of is when I saw the video, it's really hard to see it clearly. Like, it's really hard. You can tell something went on, but you don't actually see where it hit or how it hit. Or
you can tell Kessler flip his stick and chop at him.
What more do you need to see? Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm saying there's not a clear in and out and out. Like, it's not like the line I hit where you have seven angles and you see it clearly and you can judge whether even the heads hit or stuff like that. I don't know, but to Brandon's point, I thought it was good that he said that, yeah, my finger is this, that. That's just plain, like, that's a player calling out another player. Do what you want with it or call it what you want, upper body, lower body. But when a player is that specific and has those comments, that's just one guy telling another guy, that's unprofessional.
And he's absolutely right here. It's ridiculous the league is sleeping on this. You know, you would think for sure the Jets had conversations with the league about this. Wouldn't you love to know what the league said?
Yeah, I would love to understand that. We'll hear more from Maurice when we come back in our next hour. We're going to talk some Kyle Lowry's comments and really what the NBA and a lot of the sports world are saying. Right before we go, though, the tweets are pouring in on my Kessler penalty shot, and the best one is from Kurt. Funny part is that Kessler's son scores on Price and his dad can't. #TeamUSA.
Ah, nice. That's a good one.
Maybe the All-Star game should be kids, players' kids, and we could sit there and go, wow, like Burns' daughter can play. Might be more exciting. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about how the President of the United States is affecting not only the world, but the sports world and traveling on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on The Big Show, TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca on Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Jim Tilf, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki with you this morning. Jets and Blues tonight, 7 o'clock on the station. We try to stay to sports on this show, and this is sports, and sometimes it crosses over in what's going on in the real world. Kyle Lowry of the Toronto Raptors and several other athletes have weighed in and was pretty blunt when asked about the new travel ban that U.S. President Donald Trump has implemented for their country. Of course, several American athletes playing in Toronto for all kinds of sports and across right here in Winnipeg as well. And interesting watching the reporters on TSN last night. They were discussing this as well. And Michael Farber was saying, who was at the All-Star festivities in Los Angeles on the weekend, none of this was even brought up or talked about at the All-Star festivities. But plenty of the NBA players have no problem weighing in on it, including Kyle Lowry of the Toronto Raptors.
I think it's bull. I think it's absolute bull. I mean, our country is the country, the home of land, home of the free. And for that to happen, I think it's bull. I mean, I'm not going to get into it too deeply, but personally, I think it's bull.
Any chance you want to try it again?
Not at all. Y'all going to bleep that out. That's how I feel about it. You use it. I'm sure you can bleep it out.
And this is going to be an issue for major sports league teams reaching out and watching the reporters again discussing this. Even like Yu Darvish, I believe is Japanese and one of the Middle Eastern countries that are on the ban. That's his nationality. Several of the NBA players have passports from some of the countries that are on this ban. This is going to be an issue for some sports. It's an issue for society and America, but it's going to affect how some of these sports teams travel and who gets in and who gets back in.
Yeah, so there's the logistical and real problem that it creates for some of the players. I find it really interesting that not a peep was said about it in the NHL. And, you know, I can see the good part of that, and then I see the questionable sort of part of that, or I guess questionable would be the term that I would use. But, like, you know, keep it away. We don't need to talk about this. It's too causes too much trouble. Let's just focus on hockey. That's cool. But in basketball, it's obvious. Anyone that follows me on Twitter, that I've always been really interested in politics, in sports, and people that think that, you know, some folks think they should be kept separate, and I respect that. And then you get situations like where we're in right now, where there's all kinds of things that interconnect the two. For impact and such. And the NBA, I've always had profound appreciation and respect for how the NBA, as an organization, is pretty proactive with things. You get coaches like Kerr and Van Gundy. Ujiri has come out and made a comment about it as well. And the players vocal and will take stands and aren't afraid to. I really like how it's not a constant or anything like that, but I just feel they're never afraid to come out and make a political statement, which I have respect for.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting not only how this affects different sports leagues and the locker rooms going forward, but we talked about it with the Pats and Belichick and Tom Brady being supporters of the president-elect. So far. But just again, like how this is going to affect – you know, there was the Milwaukee Bucks player who came to Toronto and wasn't sure if he'd get back into the country on Saturday, even though he's been in Milwaukee and playing for the Bucks all season long. So it is going to be interesting how the rest of the sports world reacts to this as the rest of the world reacts to it as well. We'll take a break, and the Mercedes-Benz Power Hour is up next on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day, Jets and Blues. We'll check in with the Manitoba Moose and Mitch Peacock next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day today as the Jets are in St. Louis to take on the Blues. 7 o'clock here on TSN 1290. Hustler has a warm-up show at 2. H&L will go from 3 till 6. Rick Ralph will have the Manitoba Building Trades Winnipeg Jets pregame show at 6 p.m. And then, of course, the puck drops at 7, followed by the Huron Winnipeg Jets post-game show. This, once again, is The Big Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca. Jim Tilt, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki, and this segment is brought to you by Johnson Waste Management, and it is with our good friend Mitch Peacock, voice of the Manitoba Moose on moosehockey.com, and of course, right here on TSN 1290 as well. Mitch, good morning.
Good morning to you.
How are you, sir?
Yeah, doing well, thanks. Nice to be home for a little bit.
I bet. It was an epic six-game road trip, and we'll touch on that. And, of course, the two home games coming up for the Moose. But before we get to all of that, your impressions of that barn burner of an American Hockey League All-Star game last night?
The epic that was the All-Star Classic?
The epic, yes.
Yeah, it's fun. I think it's great to get the best players together and have a chance to showcase the skills. And you could see the care level go up a little bit as the night went on. And, you know, from a central division perspective, the right guys won again.
Mitch, what is your – there's all kinds of talk about how the NHL could make things better during the All-Star festivities. Your thoughts on if the AHL gets it done the right way?
Boy, I don't know. It's a really tough thing to try and pull off, isn't it? I mean, yeah. Nobody wants to get hurt. You want to showcase skills. The guys are playing a long season. It's an extra game on top of everything else. I don't know what you do. It's a difficult proposition. I think that if the spirit of the players on the ice is right and the fans can sense that the players are trying to provide them with a show and they can showcase their skills and abilities a little bit and have some fun with it without looking like they're mailing it in or, you know, that they're just putting in time, then I think it passes. And that may be as good as it gets.
You know, Mitch, I'd like to ask you and Jim, because when we go to the Jets skills competition, there is no question that is, it seems to me, 100% catered for kids.
Yeah. You know?
And I'm just wondering if we're getting to a place, or I wonder if it would benefit the NHL to maybe even more so cater, because they are so half-assed in it. Like, it's so far from being a real serious thing. Why not just go over the top and really, truly, completely cater towards kids?
Well, it's a great question, and I don't know if it isn't worth considering. I think there's a lot to be said for that. Recognize what your audience would be for an occasion like that, and go for it. I mean, look at the response you get when you get something like Ryan Kessler's son coming out on the ice. Clearly, people understand that there's an appeal there and a value in that, so it probably is worth looking at.
That shouldn't be allowed, Mitch.
Unless you hate kids.
You can't let a player – I'm not there to watch a guy's kid – shoot a penalty shot. The whole world had to watch that.
We're seeing different sides of these grizzly competitors. You know, it's another layer.
You would not believe my Twitter feed today with people saying they should have, Price should have saved it. He should have poke checked him. He should have mocked him. That's Kessler's kid.
There's no doubt. I think you could have had that. If something went wrong there, terribly wrong.
It's awful. Like, if I'm Price's teammate, I'm like, dude, you're looking like a sieve out there.
I'm glad you're healthy, but the goalie coach needs to spend a little time with you if that's what's happening.
You've seen Jack Roslovic all season long, including watching his games at the World Juniors as well. What does this All-Star appearance do for him going forward in his career?
Well, you know, Jack is a really focused, determined guy with a lot of ability, and I get the feeling that, leading up to the game and the event in Allentown, that he saw it as another important part of his growth, another important part of his experience, and not necessarily because the game was of any particular or those games were of any particular, you know, competitive value, but just getting the experience of being an elite player and going to the events and being involved in the competitions that elite players are involved in. I think he was really excited about it, enthusiastic about it, and wanted to go through it all and see what it was like and learn more from the people around him and just kind of check another box that I'm moving forward here and I'm getting the different types of lessons and opportunities that the high-end players get. So I think just being around it and being associated with associated with it is valuable. Mark Morrison, the assistant coach with the Moose, was saying, too, that he felt there was something to be said for not only being around those other players, but being around other coaches and other voices and just, you know, having a chance to soak in a little bit more about the game. And so I think he'll come away from it all the better. The tough part for these guys is, as you guys have seen over the years, is once you get into that window of being one of those high-end guys from maybe 16 years old up to, I don't know, like 22, Josh Morrissey's kind of coming out on the other side of it. You're just put through the ringer. I mean, you're playing in summer camps and exhibition tournaments and showcase games for scouts, and it just never seems to stop. And I guess the key is to try and find a way to enjoy it and be better for it. But it's a grind for those six years or so there where you're kind of in that spotlight of becoming a pro player at the highest level.
Mitch, the goaltending situation for the Jets and the Moose, sort of a flowing situation, and interesting to watch the impact that the decision of bringing Andre Pavlik up has made and will make going forward here. It looks to me that Eric Comrie did a pretty good job of responding at a good level after the recall of Andre Pavlik.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the relationship between the two situations. I don't know that you know, he felt like, okay, now the door's open. I really got to show what I can do. I think he was just excited to build on a kind of a foundation to his game that he felt was there, but the results really weren't coming, and he wanted to just get in on a regular basis and see something come from it, because he'd been playing reasonably well, but I think had one win or two wins in a space of maybe 90 days or 60 days. So I think he just wanted to get a flow going for his own self-confidence, and you know, there was, you know how it is when you're an athlete. You feel like you're doing well at times, but the results aren't necessarily there. And I think it was a very personal thing for Eric, in that he thought, geez, I don't know why I'm not winning any games. I think I'm playing all right here, and I'd like to help the guys out. So I think that's more the angle there than seeing, you know, the bigger picture and wanting to feed into what was going on there. In fact, I had an interview with Eric late last week for the broadcast in Charlotte, where he said that he felt like earlier in the season that he was getting a little bit ahead of himself, starting to think about the future and the possibilities, and that he felt that he started to get his game and get his feet under him better when he realized that all he could do was make the most out of each day. And so I think that's also representative of where his mindset is at. But whatever the case, you're absolutely right. He played terrifically well. They won three games on that trip. Two of them were 2-1. One of them was 2-0.
Mitch Peacock, the voice of the Manitoba Moose on moosehockey.com and right here on TSN 1290, joining us this morning on The Big Show. Jim Toth, Trey Westard, Brandon Rewicki with you as well. The Moose split their six-game road trip through Texas and North Carolina. They won three, they lost three, Mitch. They're home to host San Jose. Before we get into those games, tell us about the road trip and how the team's been playing.
Well, I think the team really feels like they understand themselves better. There's a better sense of an identity with this group. They've had a little bit of stability to the personnel group in the last number of weeks here, and they realize that they're not going to score a lot of goals 5-on-5. Their special teams need to be excellent, and they have been, and they need the good goaltending, and then they have a chance. So there's a, you know, there's an awareness with the team that they're not going to go out and run and gun somebody and win 5-4. They need to play a certain way to give themselves an opportunity to win. And they're hungry to win because there's a group there that really feels like they should be a playoff team. Whether or not that's fair or not in the big picture, we'll have to see. But they have a belief in the room that the playoffs are what it's all about for them, and that's what they're gunning for. And Pascal Vincent and the staff have pushed for that since the beginning of the year. So they look at the standings, they look at the schedule, they see what type of a group they are, and they realize that, you know, their time is now. They've got to put something together. So I thought they really handled the road trip quite well. There were times when it could have gone the wrong way on them, and they always seemed to find a way to win a hockey game during that period. So they come off of the six games feeling pretty good about things and excited about the chance to come home and play a few games here before going on the road again. And the schedule is really not their friend these days. It's, you know, home for two after being away for six. Then they're out for six again. And yes, they're back for four, but then they're out for four after that. So they're looking at 10 of the next 14 on the road after these two games at San Jose. This is where they're going to you know, have to find that game, keep that game, and grind out points here and there if they're going to stay in that mix for a top four spot. And they see it. And it's, you know, it's fun to be around them because they sense there's an opportunity.
Manitoba Moose hosts San Jose this Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock at MTS Center, if you'd like to check it out. And, of course, moosehockey.com for Mitch Peacock's call and right here on TSN 1290 whenever we can work them in as well. Mitch, we appreciate it as always. Enjoy being home for a while and the games this weekend.
Yeah, looking forward to Polar Bear Jersey Night in support of the Assiniboine Park Zoo coming up on Friday night. That's always fun when the team comes out with a different look, and it seems to build a certain energy in the building, too, for a great cause as well.
That's a great relationship they have out with the zoo, too, and the polar bears.
Yeah, it certainly is. And you know, the money that they raise in auctioning off the jerseys goes to the polar bear rescue program that they have, and I think it's a terrific cause. And I know the team really thinks a lot about being able to connect with the community. It's something they put a great value on, not only from an organizational standpoint, but the players have a lot of fun with it. And let's be honest, when you're in the long grind of a 76-game season and you can mix it up a little and do something different and you know you're helping at the same time, it gives the players a little shot in the arm. I know it was certainly the case with Firefighter Appreciation Day. And I know they're looking forward to Friday night as well, so it should be great.
At Mitch Peacock 1 on Twitter as well. Thanks, Mitch.
Take care, guys.
Take care, Mitch.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll get back into a Jets game day as they host St. Louis. It is a Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. They don't host St. Louis. I should say they're in St. Louis. They begin a three-game road trip tonight through the Central Division. This segment was brought to you by Johnson Waste Management, a presentation of Johnson Waste Management, recognized at best in the business 10 years in a row. Jets and Blues talk when we come back on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN1290.
Tis the season for budding bromance. TSN 1290 will celebrate by setting up a quality mandate for two local dudes. Visit TSN1290.ca and enter for your chance to win an outing on Tuesday, February 14th for you and a friend, including two tickets to the Winnipeg Jets game that night at MTS Center versus the Dallas Stars, a reserve table for two at TSN 1290's Winnipeg Jets pregame party at Boston Pizza City Place, a $100 gift card for food and drink at Boston Pizza. $1 from every heart-shaped pizza that night goes to BP Foundation Future Prospects Charity. And that's not all. For those poor, neglected people you've left behind that night, we also have Valentine's or Guyentine's Day options, including flowers from Kalia Flowers and a thermal experience for two and a gourmet lunch at Thermia. Winner to be announced Monday, February 13th on The Big Show. That's going to help you get to the mandate.
Okay, is that what had you all giggles?
We covered dollar basis here with this one. So
yeah.
Not only do you get to go to this bromance mandate at the Jets game, but then you, for anybody you're leaving behind, just for that night, you're covered.
You're also going to Thermia? Is that?
Whoever you're leaving behind can. Or yeah. You can go if you want.
See, like they'll be going alone or with somebody else, yeah.
Yeah. So
thank you, jerk. I'm taking this. Yeah.
Covering all bases there. Anyway, it's an interesting. TSN1290.ca, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Good stuff. It is an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. The Jets are in St. Louis to take on the Blues. We ran Paul Maurice's update on the injuries as well. In case you're just joining us, Stafford and Perreault will travel. Not likely to play tonight or will not play. Dano skated and Sherratt, they will stay here and will be reevaluated. Marco Dano is about 2 weeks away, Paul Maurice said. They are going to start Andre Pavlik tonight, and Paul Maurice saying that he gives him the best chance to win, he feels, and given his numbers versus St. Louis, 5-6-1 in 12 games, 241 goals against, 927 save percentage, one shutout.
Wait, did he say that?
Paul Maurice?
Yeah.
His numbers are real good.
But he said that he gives him the best chance to win tonight?
I believe. Did he
no,
say
he,
that?
He did not say those exact words, no.
Okay.
Do you want to play the clip?
Yeah, let's play it again.
Let's play it just
on why you're starting Andre Pavlik.
Yeah, Pav's playing tomorrow.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
I liked his numbers. Pav had really good numbers against St. Louis. The San Jose game, he made good saves. The one he didn't, I didn't think he had much of a chance on with two backdoors. And so I liked where his game's at. I also want Connor to keep working. I want him to get out of the extremes of his performance and get a real solid work days and then feel good about himself. And then he kind of mentally recharged the next time he gets back into the net. So Pav's going.
That's interesting. Mentally recharged, continue to work.
And you know, like, you know, just from an athletic standpoint, that Hellebuck wants back in there. That's really interesting.
Maybe he's letting him burn a little bit. Yeah, you know, that maybe. Inner drive? I don't know. Jake Allen, by the way, will go for the St. Louis Blues tonight. So he returns to the net, talking about goalies who have been given a little bit of a break and a chance to work on their game. So it'll be Andre Pavlik versus Jake Allen tonight in St. Louis. Paul Maurice did give the injury update, as I said. He also addressed what's next during the final 30 games for his team, and he, basically what he expects and what he's seen from his team for the next 30 games of the regular season.
This has been a really resilient group, and it would be almost to your question, which I fully understand, right? So the expectation is, and probably Patty scoring 20 goals that early, going, we should win them all. He should score three every night, and we should win them all. But the story so far this year has been resilience with the stretch, with the schedule. The injuries have taken a major toll, but they stay in the fight. They just stay in the fight. And I think there's a lot of that in our room. We've got really good leadership. I'd like to think we're getting healthy at some point. We've got a belief that our numbers and net are starting to trend up a little bit. And there's always been that belief. I mean, we feel that we're a good enough hockey team that we're certainly making a push every night to win.
Sure. You know what's interesting about, like, the sniffing around the playoff line and such, boys? You go all the way down to Winnipeg in the standings of the Western Conference right now and go up to Dallas, Vancouver, Los Angeles, and then the two wild card holders in Calgary and St. Louis. None of those teams have a winning record over the last 10 games. So does somebody want to step up here? Right? Is someone able to step up here? It's just remarkable here. Los Angeles has the very best record of all those teams at 5-5 the last 10.
Yeah, it's real interesting. And, you know, St. Louis has the first wild card. They have 53 points. The Jets have 50. And I know Calgary, L.A., Vancouver, Dallas are all ahead of the Jets. And the Calgary Flames are the only team that's played 52 games along with the Jets. Dallas has only played 50, Vancouver 50, L.A. 49, and St. Louis has only played 49. It's 3 points, but it's a lot of points in the mix and play here in order for the Jets to. They have to win, and they have to get some help going forward. And it'll be a real, real interesting next 10 games, next sort of month here, that all unfold for the Winnipeg Jets. Paul Maurice was also asked why his team, or he feels his team, gets up when they do play teams like the Chicago Blackhawks and, of course, tonight versus the St. Louis Blues.
It wasn't always the case, right? There was a long stretch of time where we struggled. And then we ended up winning in Chicago on a lot of back-to-back nights. I think we kind of went in there with no pressure. Our goalie played great. They may have taken us, I'm talking about 2 years ago now. We can skate. We've gotten better as a hockey team, and we understand the game that we're going to play. I think at the end of the day, we're morphing from we know we can score some goals here. When we play against the teams that we have a great amount of respect from because of how well they've played against us early on, we play really well defensively. We're focused with that. And then we start to leak at times against other teams where we want to score goals every time we touch the puck, right? So there's some maturity that's coming into our game. I think the Central Division, we understand. I think that we have a right mindset going into those games.
It's real interesting going into tonight's game that Andre Pavlik gets the start. And we discussed it in the first hour, and I'll pose the question again. Do you think one has outplayed the other? And when I said that, you're right. Paul Maurice didn't say that yesterday about the best chance to win. That's what he said when Andre Pavlik was called up and generally talking about carrying three goalies and who's going to play. And he said basically the guy who I feel gives them the best chance to win on a nightly basis. So it's real fascinating to me on what goes into the decision-making in the goaltending. And I mean that in a serious way. Like, I think it's interesting all the factors are weighing in. And the whole philosophy of him saying, I want the guy in net to give us the best chance to win. But also, they need to win games here. Like, they need to get points. And there's the development and all the other aspects of what's going on around the factors. There are a number of factors that would have to go into this decision on a game-to-game basis.
Yeah, and it's on the surface, it doesn't make sense to me, right? Connor Hellebuck, you sit him out for an extended period of time, working on whatever deficiencies that were identified, comes back, looks pretty strong against Chicago. Looks like he's ready to take the torch and run with it again, and then you sit him. So if this is a motivation thing, like to really get him to burn, that's I'm cool with that. I understand. I know it works when coaches deal with that, but it's, you know, or if this is a showcase type of a thing, if they're looking to move Pavlik, I understand that a little bit. But, boy, you'd be and I also understand the possibility of Pavlik being called up, getting those starts, being sat down, thinking he's probably done, and then you call him, tap him on the shoulder to go again tonight. Maybe you get another surge here for Pavlik for some high level of play, but those are all, like, there's a whole lot of maybes and what-ifs and wonderment here. But on the surface, your guy that's got by far the best save percentage on your team, who, you know, had a off-the-rails situation for two starts and 13 shots, surrendering six goals, strange sort of situation, sits for an extended period, comes back, looks strong, looks like he's good to go again, and then you sit him here, choosing Andre Pavlik. It's an interesting situation. The Blues, from what I see, all indications here, expect Jake Allen to start tonight. And it's just, so, you know, they've got their own situation going on in net, and let's hope Andre Pavlik is able to step up here and go grab the boys a win.
Yeah, I don't understand any of it, to be totally honest with you, and I don't agree with the decision to go with Pavlik tonight, because, I mean, how much time does Hellebuck need to rest and recharge? He just had basically a whole week off after having a real, real solid performance against Chicago here. You want to showcase him? Like, what, at this point in the season, you want to move up from, I don't know, a fifth-round pick to a fourth-round pick? Like, that's that moving up 20 picks at that point of the draft is enough for you to kind of push aside trying to win hockey games at this crucial point of the year. And if you think Pavlik's the best opportunity for you to win games, I disagree with that process of thinking as well. So, like, there's just a whole bunch of question marks to me, and I don't really get the way and the line of thinking that the Jets are going about their goalie situation right now.
Pavlik did play St. Louis, and the Jets did as well, just over a week and a half ago. They won 5-3, and he did set a record in the second period for most saves in a period with 25 versus the Blues. It'll be Jake Allen and Andre Pavlik versus the Blues. It is an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day here on TSN 1290. 7 o'clock is puck drop, and to help tee up the game for us, Shane Knighty, Jets analyst, joins us next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN1290.
TSN 1290 supports the Wild Winter Canoe Race on Louis Riel Day, February 20th, on the ice at the Forks. The Wild Canoe Race is a five-person team's racing their canoes over a snow-packed 200-meter course. Proceeds will support Inclusion Winnipeg, enhancing the lives of those living with intellectual disabilities and autism. Fastest team wins a grand prize, which is five all-inclusive round-trip passes for two on Via Rail and bragging rights. To sign up or for more information, visit tsn1290.ca. This is an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day here on TSN 1290. Jets and Blues tonight at 7. Hustler has the warm-up at 2. H&L goes at 3. 6 o'clock, Rick Ralph has the Manitoba Building Trades Winnipeg Jets pregame show. Puck drop once again at 7, followed up by the Huron Windows Winnipeg Jets postgame show. The Big Show on TSN 1290 and tsn1290.ca as we tee it up for you as well. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki, and Jets analyst on TSN 3, and of course right here on TSN 1290, Mr. Shane Knighty joins us now. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you today?
I am good.
Refreshed and ready to go?
Well, let's just say I'm ready to go. I don't know about refreshed, but yeah, I'm ready to go.
Well, that's the first question I'll ask for you is how the team looked at practice yesterday, a 2 o'clock start, allowing everybody to sort of get back from the All-Star festivities. I understand it was a pretty upbeat, up-tempo practice.
Yeah, I think everybody's excited. Usually you are after the break. So, you know, chance to see them out there. Some guys that were injured were, you know, just on the ice. It's always good to see some of your teammates making that progress, even if it's been for the full practice. So I think overall, just you get away from the game, then you get back. And it's that time of year when, you know, it's a lot of fun. You're in that kind of last stretch, although Vince, it's kind of unique because usually the All-Star break senses kind of that last stretch to the playoffs. It's unique for the Jets this year because they still got come back for 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is, and then you got that 5-day break. So it's a little different this season. But that said, this is kind of the signal of, you know, turning things up and understanding this is where you're going to realize usually where if you're a playoff team or not first, and then where you're going to seed yourself. So it's a lot of fun as everything kind of ramps up.
Hey, Sheriff, I'm going to bounce back to the All-Star weekend for a sec. You seem to be a guy that would have a profound appreciation for the history of the game and the players involved. How cool was it for you with seeing the 100 best and just the old boys that were involved to the degree that they were?
Absolutely phenomenal. I'm a big proponent of recognizing those that came before, what they did for their game, and the healthy respect for everything, you know, for the path that was carved and for the people that played in the game that, you know, gave me a great career and a great life and for me and for my family. So and to see my heroes and, you know, even, you know, friends, my parents, people they looked up to, you know to Bobby Orr and the greats there, that it was fantastic. And I thought the interaction between that and what an experience for, you know, all those young players there. And we can speak specifically of, you know, Patrick Laine, the opportunity to be surrounded by that. And, you know, not many All-Star events really kind of, you know, piqued my interest. Last year with John Scott did, and this year because of the century in the top 100, I thought it was great just to see that, and then to see Orr, Lemieux, and Gretzky, you know, in one press conference. That brings back the inner kid in me to get excited to see that and to listen to it and see those guys having fun and interact as all hockey players do. And I just wish I could have been there and in that back room, because usually when they get together, it's story time, and I could sit and listen to that for hours on end, and I couldn't even imagine how great they'd be coming from those legends.
That's what did stand out to me, too, is when you have a guy like, you know, even Paul Coffey talking to P.K. Subban and what the discussion is and what the stories would be and what a guy like that would ask a guy like Paul Coffey or stuff. It was really interesting to watch all the – it would be, too, to watch all the interactions. Shane, Andre Pavlik gets a start tonight. Were you surprised by that, or what's your read on sort of how Connor Hellebuyck played in Chicago?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. Usually I have a pretty good inkling of which way they're going to go. This one, I am surprised by, and I don't know why. But that's the decision that was made. So I fully expected to see Connor Hellebuyck coming out of the break. I thought he looked good in Chicago, but I'm not behind the scenes. That's the thing, you know, that when I look at it and don't figure out, there must be more to it. There must be conversations going on and decisions made, and you know, it happens collectively between a group of people. And then the final decision obviously made by Paul Maurice. But yeah, Andre Pavlik's going to get the chance. So we'll see how it goes here. He does have experience against St. Louis. That said, I like where Hellebuyck's game got to against Chicago. He looked right to me. There wasn't guessing on saves. He looked in position on saves. He looked, back to technically where he needed to be. And so that said, he played that game in Chicago and hasn't seen a lot of shots since, other than yesterday. So I maybe understand it from that point that, okay, well, let's give him some more days of practice here. Let him see some shots, see some pucks, and then give him a stretch to run with. And maybe that's the only thing is protecting with, him coming off that game, not seeing a puck until yesterday. There's some confidence that was built. Maybe it is a little too early to throw him right back in. Give him some time to continue to see pucks and then throw him back in here in Dallas and let him go with it. But that's just me kind of thinking off the top of the head here what the consideration might have been with Pavlik.
Sheriff, we were just talking, the two wildcard teams, St. Louis and Calgary, and then all the teams above Winnipeg, Los Angeles, Vancouver, Dallas, and then Winnipeg itself, all of those teams combined, there's not one team over 500 right now in this wrestling match trying to secure a wild card spot in the West. With the injuries, with guys coming back, and just where they're at right now as a team, do you feel the Jets are in a legitimate chance here to make a good push for a playoff spot?
if they find the consistency in their game, yes. Because we've seen this team look really good at times. We've seen them look, you know, okay. And, yeah, they've dealt with a lot. And the injury factor to me is a massive one for any team. You look at Dallas, who's had to struggle with that. And you look at Washington, who hasn't. Or you look at the healthy teams in the league. They're usually amongst the top. And that's just the reality of it. But that said, there's got to be consistency in their game. And that's to all areas of the game, you know, whether all three zones and everything. And we've seen them do it. So now's the time of the year. You're going to find out here in this next little stretch because they're still in the hunt. It's not going to be easy. They need to find a way to pull off a lot of victories, and they need a good string of wins put together. But I think they can do it if they find that consistent game. And that and the patience instilled in their game. And we saw that against Chicago, even when, because there's games and even the best teams, you're going to have stretches of a game or wins where you don't look right, but you find a way to pull it out. And I thought they did that against Chicago because they didn't panic. They were down. They didn't press. There wasn't, the run and gun show. They kind of still stuck with it. They got some saves, which you need, which is key. But they were patient and then opportunistic. And that's very important because not every game you're going to go out and be the dominant one that wins the game. You got to find ways to win games different ways and be consistent in that effort and in your mindset and how you approach that game. So I think there's an opportunity, but you're going to certainly find out here over this stretch against Central teams. And in the next 2 to 3 weeks, you'll have a lot better picture of where you sit.
Jets analyst on TSN 3 and right here on TSN 1290, Shane Knighty joining us this morning on The Big Show on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Blues tonight at 7 o'clock on TSN 1290. You mentioned the health, Shane, and obviously it would be better if everybody was healthy today as they start this next 30 games. But within the next 2 weeks, this team could look a little different if everything plays out health-wise.
It certainly could. And, you know, you look at the guys that they like, well, Stafford and Perreault, two veteran players. Marco Dano, who's seen his emergence this year and what he can do. But, you know, in his absence, Andrew Cobb's got an opportunity, and we've seen what he's done. So, you know, that's where, you know, injuries are interesting because, yes, you miss some key players. And you go back early, you see what Brian Little's done for this team and how nice it would have had been to have him through that long stretch. But Tyler Myers is the big one. I think he gives a whole different look to that defense. If you have him in your top six and where he fits, it just the depth it gives you defensively and what he can do in a game because of his size, his reach, his skating ability, it gives you a very impressive, you know, defensive core. And it spreads those minutes out. And I know we've heard a lot of debate, and I think, you know, if you can take another couple minutes from Dustin Byfuglien, the important minutes that are important for him to play, but give them to somebody like Tyler Myers, I think that just makes everybody better on that team. And that's what you want to see. You want to see everybody get healthy because I think this team, as a healthy group, and if they can find their game consistently, they could be a force. And be interesting if they can get to that point.
Sheriff, the Jets are 10th in the NHL for goals per game. They're 26th in goals against per game. Is it fair to say that when you're mentioning that consistency, the vast majority of that is going to come in overall defensive team play?
It is. They need to improve everywhere, and I don't have the stats. I know defensively there's some, and I should have them on me, but I don't, about their red zone shots and all that. They sit in pretty good areas in certain defensive categories, but when I look at them optically, it's there's some area for improvement and for better reads, and I think a lot of it's communication on the ice, and they need to improve. And they're young, and that's, you know, there's youth there, right? So they're still trying to find the way. That said, though, the defensive zone to me is the one area that has been with this team the longest, because that's something Paul Maurice worked on instantly when he came in to replace Claude Noel. So there should be an understanding there about how to play. And one of those things, where it sits, I don't think it's as bad as where it sits, but at the same time, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's an area that can get better.
Is that the biggest thing for this team going forward for the next 30 games? And I guess overall in general, Shane, is just to figure out, when you mention consistency, to find that especially in the defensive end?
I think they need to find it in their overall. And this is where it gets tricky for me, because the defensive end, I'm trying to think of a way to word this the right way. Defensively, when you're talking strict defensive zone, and the, you know, I think they've improved, and there's been some real good stretches of them playing the right way. Now, off the rush, I think they've improved. There's certain.
Oh, did we just lose Shane?
He's just abducted by aliens, I think.
Oh, man. Well, we get the gist of it, eh? Starts in the neutral zone.
Well, the defensive zone, I was just saying, in watching some of the, and it was, I really like this point that, and he made it there a little bit, about the Jets, their stats, as far as the number of high danger shots allowed and all that sort of stuff, they're not that bad. You know, they're sort of mid-pack, but it's the magnitude of error that they make that leads to fantastic scoring opportunities. And boy, when you watch, like there was one play in the game against San Jose where there was a goal allowed, where the guy's allowed to walk out. I think it was San Jose or Chicago, can't recall for sure, but Postma's got a man in front. Enstrom comes back in front of the net, and there should be communication there so that Postma can now leave that man and go towards the guy coming out from the corner, or a forward should have had him, but there just appears to be a lack of communication. And I've been saying for a few games now, it seems to me the most glaring errors that happen on the most regular basis for the Jets are the forwards failing in their responsibilities in the defensive zone and covering and such. So that part of it, there is no question. That is the key to the success of the Winnipeg Jets going forward.
And a lot of that, what you say about the forwards in the center, like Brian Little is, in my mind, leading the way that way. Like, he seems to be understanding fully the two-way game and really does a good job in the defensive end on most nights. Shane, we got to go anyway, so we appreciate his time. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter, at Shane90, and see him tonight on TSN3, and you can hear him throughout the season right here on TSN 1290. We'll take a break on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Blues tonight at 7. We'll talk some NHL news and notes when we come back to the Big Show on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Our province is packed with shining stars in the world of sports. Every week, TSN 1290 would like to showcase and reward these individuals who are making a big impact and difference in what they do. Nominate a Manitoban athlete, a coach, or volunteer who's dedicated to making their sport matter. Every Friday on The Big Show, we'll showcase a Subway Sports Star of the Week and reward him or her with a $50 Subway gift card. Visit TSN1290.ca to nominate your sports star, and we could be featuring them real soon, as in maybe this Friday. This is The Big Show on Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Blues tonight at 7. Jim Tilth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki with you on The Big Show. And Larry Brooks, our good friend, Brooks A., reporting for the New York Post yesterday that Alain Vigneault has been given a contract extension. 55 years old now for Vigneault, and of course Scott O'Neill is on his staff for 2 years to the 2019-20 season. Alain Vigneault will be head coach of the New York Rangers, or at least paid to be.
Yes, that's a good distinction to make. That's really maybe what matters, right? It seems to be a good fit in New York. Seems to handle everything up to this point in time much better than his predecessor, right? So it's a highly regarded coach, and as a quasi-Rangers fan going back to Ulf and Anders heading there after the Jets' WHA days, it's good to see them having some level of success.
Yeah, every time I see Alain Vigneault behind the bench, I think, why is he not in Vancouver still? Like, how did the Canucks let this guy go?
There's a few individuals in the NHL you can ask yourself that question of, right?
Right? It's funny how a coach so many times, in all sports really, becomes a victim of their own success, where you coach a team to highs during the regular season, sometimes deep playoff runs, but because you don't win the title for whatever reason, it falls on the head coach's head. And it's just, I wonder if Canucks fans feel the same, where it's, he should have never left in the first place.
Well, and I remember two things, of course, his time here with the Moose and then the Canucks. But remember the Canucks when he was, what, 10-game losing streak? And they said if it, the rumor was amongst the reporters and the stories that if he got to 11, he would be done. And he won the next. They won the next game, and then they sort of just went on this tear, and then they made playoffs, and then it just sort of like he was literally a game away from being let go, and then ends up taking them to a Stanley Cup final as well. But Alain Vigneault, I think he's a phenomenal coach, and to your point, Troy, there are a ton of guys like that that for whatever reason owners lose patience or new direction is needed. But clearly the Rangers don't feel that way, and he's taken the Rangers to a Stanley Cup final, hasn't won one yet. But they give him a two-year extension because obviously they believe, you know, over the next couple of years, whether they win one or not, that he's the right guy for the job at the right time. Islanders goalie Thomas Greiss gets a three-year contract extension worth $10 million. Obviously, they waive Yaroslav Halak and 10 years over 3 years for Greiss. Is that the right contract for him?
I think that's a damn good deal.
Yeah.
And Thomas Greiss is a real interesting study. He's 31 years old. And prior to last year, only had 89 games experience in the NHL. Now, in the last year and this year combined, he's got 66 games played and a save percentage of .926, which is within, I think, the top three of all goalies in the NHL over the last 2 years. So it's interesting. He didn't play much when he was younger. He's 31 years old, but the last couple of years has been super strong.
Yeah, he's now got a career 155 NHL games, 73-48-18, 2.41 goals against average, and a career National Hockey League save percentage in 155 games at .919. He gets a three-year, $10 million deal on the island. We'll talk much more football, much more hockey with our good friend Ian Mendez when we come back to the big show on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN1290.
TSN1290 is proud to be a media sponsor of the 2017 Canada Summer Games, as all eyes will be on Winnipeg this summer as thousands of athletes from across Canada come to compete in 16 sports and over 250 events. The 50th anniversary of the Canada Summer Games will welcome over 20,000 visitors to our fair city and province. This is an event you won't want to miss. Volunteer registration is now open. To stay up to date on event details, ticket offers, and more, visit 2017canadagames.ca or tsn1290.ca. It is an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day here on the station. Hustler has the warm-up at 2 o'clock, and then, of course, Hustler and Lawless will go from 3 till 6. Rick Ralph has the Manitoba Building Trades Winnipeg Jets pregame show. Jets and Blues at 7, followed by the Huron Windows Winnipeg Jets postgame show. Of course, Rick Ralph will have the Don Vito Roundtable starting at 11 a.m. this morning as well. The big show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki. We welcome back to the show our good friend from TSN 1200 in Ottawa, Mr. Ian Mendez. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. How are you on this this Tuesday?
Well, lovely. Thank you. Did you watch Super Bowl Media Night this year? Was it the night?
I still can't get over the fact that people buy tickets to get into the stadium and watch. You know, I didn't sit there and watch NFL Network last night, but I certainly, first thing this morning when I got up, I watched SportsCenter and I watched, I went online and was kind of sort of looking at all the pertinent clips, whether it's about, not answering questions about Donald Trump or just about the Super Bowl, the game plan in particular for both teams. So, as usual, I think it's become sort of a spectacle in and of itself. And the fact they turned this into a primetime made-for-TV/fan event, I think just speaks volumes to how much this event has grown in the last few years.
Ian, I'm going to bounce over to what I think was the NHL being dormant last night. The news of the night last night was what LeBron James said to Charles Barkley through an ESPN reporter. And please just let me set the stage for those who are unaware of what was said. Now, Barkley has been very critical of LeBron James, questioning his level of compete, calling him a whiner for needing and asking more from the Cavs organization. And James gets the attention of an ES reporter and says this: I'm not ever going to let him disrespect my legacy like that. I'm not the one who threw someone through a window. I never spit on a kid. I never had unpaid debt in Las Vegas. I never said I'm not a role model. I never showed up to All-Star Weekend on Sunday because I was in Vegas all weekend partying. All I've done for my entire career is represent the NBA the right way. 14 years. Never got in trouble. Respect the game. Print that. What are your thoughts on LeBron James unleashing like that?
Yeah, you know what? I think for years LeBron has taken the high road when it comes to Charles Barkley, because I think Barkley, even going back to that whole, the decision fiasco back in 2010 or whatever that was, Barkley was really critical of LeBron, right? Like, Barkley was always, you know what, I don't like the idea of these super teams. I don't like these guys all teaming up. I never would have gotten together with Jordan and Pippen just to win a title. And, when it comes to this, I tend to side with LeBron James. I really do. And I think he laid out his case pretty well there. Barkley was the guy who famously back in the 90s says, I ain't your role model. I ain't your kid's role model. You know what? And here's LeBron James. All he's ever done, with the exception of, maybe not handling that decision to go to Miami in the right way, all he's done is conduct himself in the right way. And I think this is a great topic for Sports Talk Radio, is that, whose side are you on here? Are you on the side of Charles Barkley or LeBron James? But I think LeBron, like he says, has always conducted himself in the right way. And I think what he feels like is that Barkley, because he's got this platform on TV in the United States, is sort of a hypocrite and says, I think as part of this whole this conversation he had with the ESPN reporter, LeBron says, Barkley criticizes our generation for all being too friendly together and wanting to team up. He says, go back and look at the tapes of the 93 NBA Finals with Phoenix against Chicago. He says, there's a free throw, and I think he says it's John Paxson that's at the line shooting. And he says, you look at the tape, Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley are laughing and having a joke in the middle of a finals game while someone's shooting a free throw. He says, don't tell me that the game has changed and players are way too friendly. They were doing that back in the 90s. I think he feels like Barkley's a hypocrite. And I think if you're asking me, I think I tend to side with LeBron on this one.
I think it means LeBron has had a pretty boring life. I'm kidding, of course. Switching gears here to hockey, Craig Anderson is back with the Ottawa Senators. How good is it for him to be back? What does this mean for the Senators as they are having a very good season? And how long before he's back actually playing a game for the Senators, Ian?
Yeah, well, great news last night, guys, where Craig rejoined the team in Florida, and it's been almost 2 months. He was December 5th was the last time Craig was with the team and practiced with the team or played in the game. So you're talking about almost 2 months where he's been away. The good news is the radiation treatments for his wife, Nicole, have ended. She's sort of in the recovery period now, so he kind of feels like, I don't want to say they're out of the woods, but he feels like maybe some of the heavy lifting for Nicole is done for now, and that he's in a mental space, and then they're at a spot where he can go back and rejoin the team. What he told the media yesterday as he practiced with them in Sunrise, Florida for the first time, he said, look, this is like training camp for me all over again. So probably 2 to 3 weeks of needing to take some shots, have lots of practices, sort of get back in the rhythm. But the one distinction he made is, hey, look, when you go to training camp, you get a couple of freebie games, right? Exhibition, nobody cares if you get lit up for 5 goals. Well, if Craig Anderson comes back here in the middle of February and gets lit up for 5 goals, well, this is a team in the playoff race. And what he's saying is the stakes are significantly higher. So I would imagine, based on what he said yesterday, middle of February seems like a realistic timeline. And I don't know if they want to, if it's more beneficial to start him at home, where I think it'll be a really emotional atmosphere, or is it more beneficial to start him on the road, where maybe there's fewer media distractions and less of a feeling around the game? I'm not sure, but I would think mid-February seems like a realistic target for Craig to return.
Ian, if you're not sitting down, you might want to sit down, because you'll probably have some fun with this. And I'm suspecting when we open our phone lines at 9 o'clock that people will continue to have fun with this. My cohort here to the right of me,
that's me,
agreed with Andrew Hustler-Patterson that they sort of took a stance where they weren't all that thrilled seeing Ryan Kessler's kid take the penalty shot. They're like, hey, I wouldn't pay it. I'm not paying to watch a kid play here. This is a penalty shot, a competition. Let's go. Me, on the other hand, thought that was my favorite part of that specific half-ass skill competition, seeing the little fella out there, the thrill of a lifetime going up against Carey Price. What are your thoughts?
I got to agree with you. I think here's the thing. All-star games are meant for kids. They are. And you, there's some point in your life, maybe it's when you're a teenager, or maybe it's when you get into your 20s, you become really cynical about life. Maybe you got bills to pay suddenly, and you've got mortgages and all sorts of responsibilities. And things like the All-Star Game sort of lose their magical feel to them. But I think when you're a 12-year-old kid, and I've talked to a couple of kids here on the weekend after the All-Star Game, because you know what? When you talk to adults, like, oh, the three-on-three is so lame. They did it last year. The luster's gone. It's not fun. You sit down and talk to a kid. Talk to a kid and ask them if they love the All-Star Game. They'll come back with a resounding yes. So you know what? I think the issue with the All-Star Game is we need to stop tinkering with it. And just let it be. Understand that it's going to be a glorified game of shinny, that it's going to be stupid things like, Riker Kessler taking a penalty shot on Carey Price. It's going to be silly things like that. But if you don't enjoy that, then you know what? You're not going to enjoy a lot of things. So I think just take the adult lenses off for a minute, if you can, and just look at the All-Star Game like you would if you were a 12-year-old boy or girl and think, you know what? I think this is a lot of fun. And I think that, like you said, the moment with Kessler's kid, what other kid out there wouldn't be thinking, oh my gosh, that would be amazing if I could take a penalty shot on Carey Price. I wonder if I could score on an NHL goalie. So, you know, I used to be one of these guys that used to be so upset about the All-Star Game and switching formats and North America against the world and, all this stuff. I just remember I loved it as a kid. I loved seeing Mario Lemieux put up 6 points in an All-Star Game when I was a kid because it was really fun. And I think kids today probably watched Ovechkin and Crosby playing on the same line with Wayne Gretzky as their coach, and they were like wide-eyed and really enjoying it. So I think, to me, I am sick and tired of complaining about the All-Star Game. I'm gonna let it ride from here on in.
I want to know how Riker Kessler enjoyed Snoop Dogg's performance.
Oh man! Holy cow! Hey guys.
That's what I mean. And to your point, it's trying to be everything to everybody, and it's just never going to be that.
No. But we had a great chat on the radio yesterday. Like, which moment with the celebrity did you enjoy more from the All-Star game? Was it Snoop Dogg, I guess, with the non-radio edit, or was it Bieber getting taken into the glass by Pronger? I mean, there was I think I got equal humor out of both that things. But you're right. I think sometimes when you try and be everything to everybody, you're going to let some things fall through the cracks. But how on earth somebody didn't have a check on Snoop Dogg and realize what might be coming out of the microphone there. That one is beyond me.
Ian Menez joining us from our affiliate station in Ottawa, TSN 1200. You can follow him on Twitter at Ian_Mendez. On an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day, Jets and Blues tonight on the station at 7 o'clock. Jim Toth, Troy Wester, Brandon Rewicki with you as well on the big show. Super Bowl 51 this Sunday. Who do you like?
Well, I think I'm trying to look at this guy through the positive lens of just being a football fan. I'm looking at this as a win-win situation, okay? So here, who do I think is going to win? I think it's going to be really hard for Atlanta, even though they've got that sort of high-octane video game offense that we've seen a couple of times here, especially against Green Bay. I think it's going to be hard for them to be able to overcome Belichick when you give Bill Belichick 2 weeks to scheme. And I think you go back all the way to that first Super Bowl that Belichick won as an assistant with the Giants, where they beat the Bills, and the Bills had the no-huddle K-gun offense with Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas and Andre Reid, and the whole storyline was, well, they'll never stop them. And Belichick, give him time, he's shown consistently that he'll be able to stop an offense. He did the same thing with the Rams and the greatest show on turf in that first Super Bowl that he had with the Patriots in whatever that was, 2001, 2002. So I think history has told me that whenever Bill Belichick takes on one of these amazing offenses, you got to side with Belichick. But I'm looking at this as I'm just a fan of the game. I'm saying, guys, this is win-win because either A, the Falcons win the Super Bowl, and I love seeing new teams win the Super Bowl. I think there's a big part of me. I'm sick and tired of the Patriots, and I think I'd love to see that evil empire getting taken down. So that's a win. But if New England wins, I think the hilarity of Goodell on the podium with some combination of Kraft, Belichick, and Brady sort of mitigates the fact that the Patriots have won a fifth Super Bowl, and I think I could get on board with seeing the awkwardness that would ensue from that. So I'm looking at this, and I think football fans should look at this as a win-win scenario, no matter who wins the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Ian, we appreciate your time as always. Thanks for doing this, and enjoy the rest of your day.
All right, same to you guys.
Thanks so much, Ian.
At Ian_Mendez once again on Twitter, and you can hear him on TSN 1200 in Ottawa. You know, it's interesting. I feel the same. Like, obviously, I love the Falcons as a story. I think Matt Ryan's great, Julio Jones. I would love to see the city win a Super Bowl and the franchise. But I also would like to put to rest the whole constant debate. Like, if Tom Brady wins his fifth Super Bowl, no other quarterback has ever done that. I would like to see the history of that as well.
Yeah, the history of the greatness. It would be really neat. I find it really interesting, and I did as well, early on when the Super Bowl came to be with Atlanta and New England, to think right away to Belichick shut down the greatest show on earth. That's not the case. That St. Louis team back then, they almost outgained New England 2-1 in that game for total yards, but they had three turnovers that killed them. So it's not like Belichick shut down the greatest show on earth. They sort of shot themselves in the foot here, and ultimately that's the matchup I can't wait to watch. Can Matty Ice and that this offense that's gaining momentum, it seems, as each week goes by, they put up 80 points in their two playoff games. Can Belichick do something to slow that down in its entirety? Yeah, and you know what, guys? The neat thing is, it's not like the defense has to do that all alone. Because they've got this guy on offense with Tom Brady who can go throw up 30, 35 points, right? So it's that really neat.
And the vice versa-ness of that as well. I'm real interested to see if Atlanta can stay on the field long enough and have their defense hold Brady to 25 points. I think the Falcons are going to score 30. If they score more than that, I'm not sure. It's a matter of seeing what the Falcons' defense can do as well with the Patriots and what scheme their head coach can come up with. Former defensive coordinator of the Seahawks when they were going to Super Bowls and winning them as well. It's such an interesting game to me this weekend for Super Bowl 51. We'll have that for you on TSN 1290 as well. Jets game day, Industrial Metals, Winnipeg Jets game day. They're in St. Louis. We'll have more on that next when we come back to the Big Show on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
The Big Show on TSN 1290 has a pair of tickets for you to go see Dierks Bentley tomorrow night, Wednesday, at the MTS Center with special guest Cole Swindell. 780-1290 if you want to go see Dierks Bentley. 12th caller through will win a pair of tickets to see him and Cole Swindell. Courtesy of the Big Show here on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day as Jets are in St. Louis to start a three-game road trip. They'll drop the puck tonight at 7 o'clock. And, of course, the Jets, as I said, on a three-game road trip. They'll then head to Dallas on Thursday, Colorado Saturday afternoon before they return home next week to begin a four-game homestand versus Minnesota on the 7th. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki with you as the Jets are in St. Louis. They're going to have their pregame skates today. But yesterday, some injury updates are for you. Stafford and Perreault were on the ice. They'll make the trip. They won't play tonight, however. Marco Dano and Ben Chiarot are going to stay here, but expected to get back on the ice, of course, when the team returns from this three-game road trip. Marco Dano now expected to be just 2 weeks away from that long-term injury he suffered. And, of course, Tyler Myers will be back on the ice, the team expects, when they return from the three-game road trip as well. It's not clear yet, and they'll evaluate it next week, whether it'll be part of a practice or just on his own, or how he will sort of get back to there. Dealing with a personal family issue and, of course, injured as well. Look for him to return to the ice. Andre Pavlik gets a start tonight for the Jets. Jake Allen for the Blues. As they begin this three-game road trip, 30 games to go, 3 points back of a playoff spot with a ton of teams with games in hand and ahead of them in the standings. What are you expecting tonight from the Jets lineup? And Andrew Kopp looks to be back on the top line as he continues his good play. And what do you expect versus the Blues tonight?
Boy, you know what, man? It's kind of both sides of this equation, right? Like, what do you expect from the Jets? Well, what do you expect from the Blues? And Jake Allen starting tonight, and according to the Blues beat writer Tom Timmerson, you're going to see Ryan Reeves bounced up to the third line with Fabry and Berglund, and then Neil Yakupov is expected to be on the fourth line with Barbashev, who's being called up, and Upshaw. So a little bit you get to watch Neil Yakupov, who I don't believe was here last time, right? With the Blues, and Ryan Reeves going up to the third line. So it's going to be real. Like, the Blues are reeling, and Jake Allen and Nett, who's been, for Pete's sake, he's been pulled in four of his last six starts. The last time he played was 11 days ago prior to the All-Star break. So, you know, as concerned as we are, like, what do we expect to see from the Jets? Well, all the St. Louis Blues fans are like, holy cow, what are we going to see from the Blues tonight? So let's hope that the Blues and Jake Allen continue to struggle between the pipes and the Jets, who are a pretty nifty 10th in the NHL in goals scored. That's getting up there to be in respectable country, right? We often reference the bottom third, right, when we're talking penalty kill and goals against and all the rest of it. Well, the boys have climbed. I don't think they've been this high. Right? I think the year that they made to the playoffs, they were 11th. In goals for per game, I off the top of my head, if I recall correctly, but it's fantastic here that you know they're turning into their own here as an offensive firepower, and let's hope they're able to continue that. Put your fair share of pucks in the net, and then let's hope everything in the back end with Pavlik and all things defensive, like what we're talking about. Let's hope that they're able to look sound against what will probably be a very feisty St. Louis team.
Yeah, well, they're facing Jake Allen, who's on a heater, stopping all three shots he faced against Minnesota after Carter Hutton got pulled in the Blues' last game against Minnesota. Before that, though, and we don't like to use single-game save percentage, but when you're rocking a 600, an 800, a 727 in three of your last four games, yeah, and you get pulled in the fourth one, you played there too. Like this is a level of struggle. He's basically tripled what Hellebuyck had gone through with those two games.
Yep.
You know, that's a 6, 7, 8 game stretch that Jake Allen had to go through so bad they just sent him home. Like, just think of the level of struggle a player has to go through. Don't even get near the play with that bad voodoo you got going on. So, it's so tough to get a read on what's going on with the Jets. And now you have the Blues on the flip side of this too, and Pavlik in net here. I wish I could tell. Like, that's kind of the funny thing with the team. I wish I could tell you what to expect for tonight, but you can't really say that, although they have, you know, to their credit, since that stretch at home, the four-game stint, they have played pretty decent hockey at the very least.
Would you guys agree, though, maybe somewhat tied up in the history of the Jets since returning Jets 2.0, that typically after a layoff, they come out a little bit slow? I'm worried about that, right? Yeah. They don't often respond well, it seems, to breaks. So let's
I think a lot of teams do, but you're right. They do tend to. It's that consistency we constantly talk about for 6+ years now. Just a side note here, Yahoo Sports is reporting Alain Vigneault's extension gives him $2 million annually as a head coach. And I think Maurice is at a mil or just over. And you think of Babcock making 8, isn't that low for Vigneault? He's in 295 games, he's 175, 97, and 23, and he's taken to a Stanley Cup final. Oh. Now, $2 million a year to coach isn't bad. I think Quinville is about 3 or 4, is he not? He's up there in Hitchcock, but $2 million annually for a guy like that, I thought he'd be pulling down, especially in New York and having gone to a final, be pulling in around 4.
I don't know, man.
But
just
comparative to what other coaches make. Of course, he hasn't won a Stanley Cup, so that probably weighs into it as well as a head coach. We'll take a break here, and we'll talk some NFL Super Bowl 51. The Boston Pizza fan line is also going to be open at 9. We'll tee that up. But Jason Cole from the Bleacher Report joins us on The Big Show, TSN 1290, next.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 is proud to support the ALS Society's Manitoba Social Saturday, February 4th at the Winnaqua Community Center. Get ready for great music, dancing, and amazing prizes. You can also enjoy the opportunity to party the night away with the ALS community. Advance tickets are on sale now from the ALS Society of Manitoba. More event details are online at alsmb.ca. Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day here on The Big Show. TSN 1290. Husser has the warm-up at 2. H&L goes at 3. Rick Ralph in the Manitoba Building Trades Winnipeg Jets pregame show at 6. Winnipeg Jets in St. Louis to take on the Blues at 7. And then the Huron Window is Winnipeg Jets postgame show to follow that all up. Of course, Rick Ralph will have the latest on the lineup during the Don Vito Roundtable at 11 a.m. Jets likely on the ice for their pregame skate at 11:30. Blues will most likely go at 10:30. Hey, I wanted to mention this during the news and notes, and I ran out of time, but congratulations to former Manitoba Moose player Jason Jaffrey. who just played his 1,000th career professional game in his 15 years of playing pro hockey.
Super cool, man.
First game was in the East Coast Hockey League for the Roanoke Express. And as the story goes, as he tells it, played a couple games there. Craig Heisinger brought him to Manitoba, played for the Cleveland Barons after that, was a San Jose Sharks affiliate, signed as a free agent, played a couple games there. They cut him, and then Craig Heisinger came calling, brought him to the Moose, gave him a tryout, gave him an opportunity, and the rest is history. Played a couple games for the Canucks in the National Hockey League, went on to play in the Flames organization, then, of course, the St. John's Ice Caps, helped them get to a Calder Cup final. And then has been playing in Germany the last couple of years. 1,000 games in professional hockey over 15 years for Jason Jaffrey.
And I'll give a quick shout-out to Team Canada for the sport of bandy. You know that they play on ice, 11 each side with a ball, with kind of field hockey sticks. Really cool game and sport. And big shout-out to Chuchi Kostacholakis. A shout-out for winning gold in bandy. Awesome stuff. Way to represent Canada, man.
Yes, and I want to correct myself. I saw the headline of the Vigneault story. He's getting a $2 million raise every year. So 19.
That's a little bit better.
Yeah, he'll get $2 million and then $2 million more in the final year of 19-20. So thanks to the people, Dom and John, on Twitter as well. During the break, I had a chance to read the story more. I just thought $2 million a year was real low for Alain Vigneault, comparative to what other NHL head coaches make. Thanks for the help on Twitter on that, and I did read it during the break. I appreciate it. Super Bowl 51 media night took place, and to talk Super Bowl 51, we welcome back our good friend from thebleacherreport.com, Mr. Jason Cole. How are you, sir?
I'm great. What's going on?
Not too much. Pretty excited for this game and the Super Bowl, and a lot of side stories, a lot of intrigue into it, but we won't ask you to give a pick just yet, Jason, but your overall intrigue with this game, I would presume it's is it a little higher than maybe other Super Bowls, just given what's at stake here with the Falcons offense and Brady and, of course, the Pats defense?
Well, I mean, you're talking about two teams that have incredible firepower, and the anticipation, of course, is that, you know, we're looking at an offensive explosion by these two teams. I mean, I'm going out and saying 45-42, and I'll tell you my winner in a minute, but it probably won't be that high, but I hope it is. I mean, these teams have the capability of doing that, and that's the fun of it. I mean, normally these kind of become defensive slugfests. Last year was a really ugly game between two defensive-oriented teams that really dummied down the playbook in order to get through the game. And this one has potential to be everything opposite of that. So I think that this will be a game that hopefully people will remember for a long time.
Jason, you've always got a neat sense of history with some of the players and the game and such. Can you maybe just touch a little bit on Matt Ryan's connection to New England and the area because of what he did in Boston College? And I've read a couple things on how he's, you know, typically the opposing quarterback will be seen almost as, you know, the demon in this type of a game. But there's so many people in that part of the country that love him because of what he did in Boston.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit different. I think that, you know, this is sort of the little brother returning home kind of thing. And even though he may have played for another team, you sit there and go, yeah, we love you anyways. Just don't beat us, that kind of thing. I think that, you know, there's an Eastern sensibility to Matt Ryan, which both works for what you're talking about and also has worked in some ways against him down in Atlanta, because he's clearly not a Southerner. And so the Southerners in Atlanta have been a little bit loath to accept him for the first few years of his career. Now, however, with them chanting things like MVP during games, I think now they sort of say it was the same kind of thing with Steve Bartkowski when he was when he went from California to Atlanta way back in the 70s out of the University of California. It was, you know, who's this West Coast dude? And they never really fell in love with Bartkowski the way that they probably should have and appreciated him for how good he was, and he sort of faded in history. And Ryan was on that track. This has a chance to, of course, change all of that. It could change the trajectory completely for Matt Ryan, and he could be that conquering hero that they've never had in football, you know, at least in professional football down in Atlanta.
Before we go more on the Super Bowl, Jason, are the 49ers crazy to hire John Lynch as a GM?
No, they're not crazy. I mean, John Lynch is going to work really hard. And, I mean, when people say Matt Millen, I don't think they understand. Matt was in over his head, way over his head, and serves as an example of what not to do. Like, Matt used to return home to Pennsylvania on weekends. Like, you can't do that as a general manager. I mean, everybody's looking at you saying, you know, we're supposed to follow your lead, and you're taking off and going home for 2 days. I mean, that automatically was a disqualifier. John Lynch is not going to do that. He knows way better than that. He also knows that what he doesn't know, which is he's never done scouting and personnel analysis as much as he may be interested in scouting and personnel analysis. So he needs to get people around him who are good at it. And I'm going to assume he's going to keep Tom Gamble, who's the great scout there who's in personnel for them, and he'll probably get somebody else, you know, maybe a Mark Domick to come in and help him, who he trusts. I think he'll surround himself with really good people, because one of the things that he did in this process is he consulted John Elway and asked John, hey, how do you do this? And one of the things John will tell anybody in this is, hey, surround yourself with really good people and treat them well and make sure that they give you the proper information so that you can ultimately make those final decisions and be as informed as possible.
Jason, it's interesting, a lot of people, when they're talking about this upcoming Super Bowl, reference the 2002 Super Bowl with the greatest show on earth and how Bill Belichick was able to shut that down. But in reality, that Rams team outgained the Patriots 427 yards to 267. And if not for those three turnovers by St. Louis, the outcome could have been considerably different. Is that affecting or helping you to base what you think might happen on Sunday?
No, because the Patriots play a completely different kind of defense. Okay. Number one, they don't have Ty Law, who did such a great job in that game against Isaac Bruce. Number two, they don't have the kind of impact guys in the front seven that New England team had, such as Willie McGinest, Mike Vrabel, Teddy Bruschi. They have some good players up front. I'm not trying to dismiss them all. I mean, Dante Hightower is a fabulous player and would have fit right in with that group back in, you know, the 01 season, 02 Super Bowl. But it's different. So what the Patriots do is they play much more pure coverage. They're feisty in some places. Like Malcolm Butler is a really, really feisty cornerback. But he ain't Ty Law. I mean, Ty Law is up for consideration for Hall of Fame because of his long and illustrious career. Malcolm Butler will be lucky to get there.
Who wins the special team battles in your mind between the Patriots and the Falcons?
Well, since it's an indoor game, I don't think kickoffs are going to be relevant. I think punt returns, you know, Edelman's a better return. I mean, a pretty good returner. They got Weems on the other side, who's okay. The coverage teams are pretty good. Both teams put a high priority on it. I would say that, you know, you got Matt Bryan against Gostkowski. I think Bryan's got a little bit better leg from long distance. Gostkowski's a little more accurate. So if you're talking about coming down to a 53-yard field goal, I'd probably bet on Bryant before I bet on Gostkowski, but the difference is pretty minimal. So I guess what I'm saying is I look at this as kind of a draw at this point in time.
So, man, you got me hook, line, and sinker here, Jason. You're calling for a close game. I think you said 45-42 the final,
yep.
And it sounds like you think the Falcons are going to be able to move the ball quite effectively on the Patriots. Please let us know how you think this plays out.
Well, I would say this. The Patriots obviously led the league in scoring defense, but again, I think some of that has to do with they played a fairly weak schedule during the regular season that sort of dumbed down what they accomplished. Obviously, they did a great job against Pittsburgh. Houston, you know, they were sort of up and down a little bit against Houston. I'm saying this. I've watched that Falcons team play twice now in the playoffs and, you know, a few times during the regular season. I think they have the confidence that they're gonna come out and they know that they can score, even if they're down 10-0 or they're down 17-0. I don't think they're gonna be afraid of that situation. They've got enough weapons. So yeah, I'm picking the Falcons to win this one 45-42 on a Matt Bryant field goal in the last second. I think it's gonna be really fun. But yeah, if the Patriots win this game, I'm not gonna be at all surprised. But I'm hoping, against hope, that we're going to have this just outrageously fantastic offensive explosion on Sunday, and that it's just going to be way different than last year when I had one of my buddies texting me how awful the game was to watch, and that this is a complete reversal of that.
What will this do, Jason? And by the way, we are talking with Jason Cole, the BleacherReport.com, and at Jason Cole BR on Twitter. On the Big Show, TSN 1290, TSN1290.ca, it is an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets in St. Louis tonight to take on the Blues at 7 p.m. on TSN 1290. What will this do for Atlanta and the NFL if the Falcons win this?
Well, I mean, it's their first one. It'll put them on the map, essentially, and probably help professional football in that region of the country. I mean, you just never had that Falcons team capture the imagination of the city of Atlanta. Atlanta remains like most of that region. Like if you go from down to Jacksonville, I live in Gainesville, which is about 4.5 hours in there. If you go up into the Carolinas, you know, South Carolina, if you go, you know, towards Alabama and Louisiana, that's SEC country. That is completely 100% college football's hotbed. All right. You know, with the Big 12 being a little bit of it, but really the SEC is the heart of college football. And this will finally be an achievement by a team in the middle of the Deep South in Atlanta to prove that they can, that professional football sort of matters and that it's important. And this will be a team that people will finally, you know, gravitate to, where, look, for years and years, the Falcons were either, you know, just a moribund team, or they were, you know, Deion Sanders putting on a show and dancing into the end zone, but that was it. Or the one team with Dan Reeves that got there and got smashed by Denver. I mean, it's just not a great, or, you know, the bottoming out point was the Michael Vick controversy, which I think embarrassed everybody and turned everybody off to professional football for a few years down there. This is finally a crowning achievement. It is a complete turnaround. It is the one big moment where I think fans in that region of the country can sit there and say, oh, we have something really, truly special on the NFL level.
Jason, the NHL is going to Vegas next year. Does it seem like the Raiders to Vegas is dead?
No, I wouldn't go so far as to say dead. It's troubled. The lease agreement that was announced last week, which included like a dollar a year lease, which is not that in and of itself was not the problem. The way it was handled was a big problem. Like the Raiders did not clear this with Sands Corporation. Sheldon Adelson didn't say, hey, strategically, this is what we want to do. How do you think this works? And basically the Raiders caused a lot of bad blood in Las Vegas, not only with Sheldon Adelson, who was embarrassed by this whole thing and angry. They also did it. They also angered the governor, Brian Sandoval, with their demands. And finally, they angered UNLV with the demands that were in the lease. So this went from a very positive direction to a very negative one. But I wouldn't say it's dead because, you know, it's tantalizing to go after an NFL team. And I think that, you know, Las Vegas, when their head's clear and they get over being angry, are going to say, okay, do we still want to do this or not? But when you lose the support of Sheldon Adelson, even if he's not a partner in this, and he probably wasn't going to be a partner, when you lose it that badly that he's embarrassed by doing business with you, you've got some serious problems now.
Jason, we appreciate your time as always. It should be a great game. I have the same expectations as you do for Super Bowl 51, so we'll look for it. Thanks for doing this as always, and enjoy the rest of your day.
No problem. We'll review it next Tuesday. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much, Jason.
At Jason Cole, BR on Twitter once again, and BleacherReport.com to read his fine work. Super Bowl 51 on TSN 1290 this Sunday as well. Jets and Blues tonight on the game, and lots to talk about, including Kessler's kid. NBA podiums.
You almost had to spit when you said that, huh?
Yay! Not here to watch your home video. We'll talk about that and the Jets game as we tee up the Boston Pizza fan line on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
iHeartRadio. You can stream us on the iHeartRadio app on all your favorite devices or get a customized playlist to suit your mood or activity. Your music, your station's always free. Download the iHeartRadio app today and stream on. Industrial Metals, Winnipeg Jets game day as the Jets are in St. Louis to take on the Blues. 30 games to go. Central Division road trip. Central Division battles the next 2 weeks predominantly for the Winnipeg Jets. Who won our Dirk Bentley tickets, Mr. Rewicki?
It was Mr. Eldon Dirksen.
Oh, congratulations, Eldon.
That's it.
You're going to like that show, Dirks. Drunk on a Plane is one of his songs.
Well, that's a yeah, everybody wants one of those guys in this day and age, right?
It's like having your kid on the ice. When you're trying to watch an all-star festivity, it's just annoying.
I can't wait till the lines open up.
Boston Pizza
phone is literally on fire.
Tip Toth on a spit.
The Boston Pizza fan line is have them on the ice. I just don't want to watch them do six-year-old skills
little
comp.
Germ bags.
When you're literally in the National Hockey League and are highly skilled yourself, I would prefer to watch you take the shot. Just saying. Boston Pizza fan line will be open at 9 o'clock, 780-1290. We will talk about that. Continuing my co-worker Hustler's thoughts last night, I don't think you should let your kid participate.
In anything.
No, no. You can. Hey, Brett Burns had his daughters on the ice. I'm all for allowing you to take in. I don't think you belong in a... This reminds me a little bit of when I had played senior men's slow pitch.
Oh, here we go.
And you bring in a cooler of cold ones, uh-huh. And the guys start, you know, on a Tuesday night, swearing a little bit, and somebody goes, hey, my kid is here. Do you mind? And the rest of us would look at each other and go, we all spent $200 to play in this league and to have a few beers.
Yeah, I'll put that on the
Do you mind?
And you know what? Trey comes every soccer game, Trey comes to me with. And I remember going with my dad and being around my uncles and all their buddies as a kid growing up and in the locker room or whatever. And that's up, I think, to the parent has to understand what the environment you're bringing that little one into, right? Like, to me, I don't expect the boys to change at all. Trey knows what the right words and wrong words. He doesn't hear me say the words, but you're in the locker room. You got to,
And I'm the guy, if your kid is at the slow pitch game, I will try to be mindful of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But don't put
certainly
it on,
don't get angry
don't
at
put
you.
It on
no,
me or
I
get
agree.
Angry at me because
yeah.
Your son is taking a penalty
shot. I'll say this, just because we really oppose one another with the Kessler thing, I thought it was beautiful. It was my favorite part of the breakaways. To me, it was such a half-assed competition. The goalies are half-assing it. The shooters are half-assing it. And I just thought it was for to be able to give your little boy an opportunity to do that, man. And there's a 99.8% chance he will never be on the ice as an NHLer to there with the jersey on up against Carey Price. I mean, what a remarkable memory to give a young one.
I think the kid's going to do all right with Kessler as his dad and the amount of times he can get on the ice with NHL All-Stars without having it to be during a national broadcast to make a home video for yourself.
Now you, my favorite part.
You just talked about the environment being a big factor in whether or not having a kid around is a good idea. And I would argue that an NHL All-Star game is about as family-friendly as it gets mm-hmm.
yes,
for a sporting
again,
event.
I'm not opposed to having the kids there and on the ice and watching their dads. I'm opposed to them actually taking part while the whole world has to wait while your child gets a home video for yourself on the phone. That's what I have a problem with. And I'll further it once again, as I did earlier in the show, NBA post games, when you have to sit at a table for 10 minutes and answer questions, your 2 to 4-year-old isn't missing out on that experience of sitting there and playing with a mic while guys are trying to do their work, get quotes, and meet a deadline.
But what if daddy wants his cute little sucker there? Like, I love that. The little kids that are at those NBA press conferences.
Who is watching the child during the game? And you can take the child in the locker room if you want to ask.
Assume mom or somebody's there.
Did the mom or the babysitter leave all of a sudden and you have to take care of this kid during your 10 minutes of press time?
I'm sure they want the little one with them, man.
Well,
one day, maybe you'll know. Maybe.
No problem with the kid being at the game. No problem with the kid seeing daddy in the locker room. No problem. It's like Spicoli in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Since you're here, Mr. Hand, and I'm here, isn't it our time? The Jets are in St. Louis tonight. Andre Pavlik gets the start. We'd love to get your thoughts on that as well on the Boston Pizza fan line. Super Bowl 51 Media Day was yesterday. And we'll continue to talk over Brady and Belichick and, of course, everything that revolves around them going for yet another title. And anything and everything. Boston Pizza fan line is wide open, 780-1290. When we come back on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day, Jets and Blues tonight on The Big Show, TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN1290.
Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day on TSN 1290, TSN1290.ca. Full game day coverage. Rick Ralph has a Don Beadle roundtable and the latest from the pregame skates at 11. Hustler has a Gondola Pizza warm-up at 2. H&L goes at 3. Rick Ralph back with the Manitoba Building Trades Winnipeg Jets pregame show at 6. Puck Drop with Paul Edmonds and Brian Munns at 7. And then the Huron Windows Winnipeg Jets postgame show wraps it all up for you. This is The Big Show, TSN 1290, TSN1290.ca. Jim Tilt, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruicki with you in the Boston Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Lots of reaction on Twitter, as you can imagine.
You think?
At Jim Tilt Sports, at Troy Westwood, at Brandon underscore Ruicki.
And at Jim Hates Kids.
You're not very active on Twitter, eh?
I pick and choose.
You're smart.
I pick and choose, yeah.
You're smart. Al Lozon weighs in with nightmare scenario. Someday Brady lets his kid accept the Lombardi trophy. Hashtag Toth hates kids. I don't hate kids. You can be around. I just don't want to watch your home video.
You know, I was sort of raised in a household to feel a certain way about cats. And you know what? And people say the only thing worse than hatred is being indifferent, right? Like that's beyond hatred. And I feel indifferent about cats. I don't hate him.
What if a cat took a penalty shot during an all-star game? Then you'd draw the ire of Troy Westwood. Boston Pizza fan line. Jets in with the Blues as well. Of course, Andre Pavlik getting the start. 780-1290 on The Big Show. Brent, you're kicking us off today on the program. Go ahead.
How's it going there, guys? And at Jim Toth, Hates Kids Sport.
Is that still around,
Hates
that
kids
Twitter?
Sport? You didn't say that, did you? Yeah.
No, I love kids sport. I actually do have a lot of volunteering for them over the years.
Well, you have anyway, up to this point.
Clearly your answer might be banned now. From what you're saying now. Like now all of a sudden your answers are evolving now that you're getting blowback. It's
My answers aren't evolving at all. I have no problem with kids being there. I have a big problem with kids taking part in something that really is for your home video on your phone.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's an all-star game. Who cares? It's not like he's taking the shot in the shootout at the end of the game.
Let me put it to you this way. Would you like it if I did have a child and, hey, we're 6 years old, and I brought him into the show and I said, hey, you do the first half hour. Would you listen to it?
What?
If I had a child and say they were 6 years old and I brought him in here and I said, hey, do a half hour of the show here by yourself. I'll just sit and watch. Would you listen to it?
Well, if it was like some nonsense telethon or something that has nothing to do with talk radio, that's just a you had an all-star competition of sports personalities. Now that's assuming you would actually make the all-star team and you had your kid in there, then I would be fine with it.
Okay.
That's a tough fair analogy point to use, I think, JT.
What else you got for us, Brent?
Jets game tonight. I think there's going to be a game tonight. That's my prediction. There's probably going to be a game.
So you're on board with us saying it's really hard to tell what's going to happen.
You know, the last time I made a prediction of 3 in a row, I screwed that up for everybody. So I'm going to say there's going to be a game. That's all I'm going to say.
Are you happy Andre Pavlik's getting the start, or what are your thoughts on that?
I'm indifferent.
Well, Brent, other than these kids' issues, you don't really have an opinion for us, do you?
No, I just wanted to make sure everybody knows that you're on the wrong side of the kid issue. I just want to make sure
you tweet me your home address, and I'll get a hold of Ryan Kessler, and I'll send you all of his kids' videos throughout the years, and you can watch his home videos at home. You love him so much.
I'll say God bless your sweet soul, sir.
Yeah, that's awesome. But, you know, I have my own kids, so I actually have my own stuff that goes on, so I don't need to worry about Ryan Kesler.
Yeah.
That's all I got for today.
Hey, Brent, we appreciate the call and the opinion, my man. You have yourself a good day and enjoy the game tonight between the Jets and the Blues.
Take
Boston
care,
Pizza fan line 780-1290. John, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, John.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I love your show.
Thank you.
I just want to talk. The Ryan Kesler thing didn't really bother me that much, but I can understand why it would bother other people. But what really bothered me one time was when the Wings won the Stanley Cup, and Scotty Bowman had told Steve Yzerman on the bench with a minute left in the game that he was retiring, and it became the Scotty Bowman retirement show that night instead of about the Wings. And I thought that was classless.
Yeah, I don't... that's an interesting perspective, because that's sort of in the big picture what we're talking about here, where how other things overlap what it should be and stuff. I don't know. That's a relationship between those two, and those two were instrumental in making that happen. So I don't. I mean, however they deal with it is up to them. But it's to me, it's a little different when you're bringing in. You know, and Husser brought up this point too, like how the post game celebration now on the ice with the Stanley Cup is all about with these kids that, you know, in the picture and in the photo, and it sort of takes away from the team sort of just having that moment to celebrate what they just accomplished as a group of men or women when they win a championship.
Mm-hmm. I think he could have waited until after the whole celebration to announce his retirement. Though, you look at any athlete, and they'll say, you know, when you look at Peyton Manning. They asked him, "Oh, what are you going to do next year after you won?" He's going to think about it. Like, case closed. You know, you don't have to. You know, it's all about me and not about the team. And I thought I lost a lot of respect for Scotty Bowman that night. And I still think Al Arbor's a better coach.
Wow. Okay, John, we appreciate the call and the Boston Pizza fan line. Have yourself a good day. Your guys' thoughts on that? It's a little different when it's like he's heavily involved in that happening. He probably wanted to share a moment with Steve going, I don't know if he's trying to make it about himself, although I have heard that Mr. Bowman did come when he was coaching with quite the ego, but maybe it was just a simple thing as, hey, Stevie, I'm glad we did this together because I'm done or something. But I don't know. I don't know the rem. I understand what he's sort of saying to sort of, you know, I'm the great Scotty Bowman, I'm retiring and going out on top, and then the discussion turns to that as opposed to the championship. Yeah. But I'm kind of indifferent on that one. Boston Pizza fan line, thanks for the call, John. We appreciate it, and it's a valid point you bring up on the Boston Pizza fan line, 780-1290 on the Big Show. Who's next?
Ron.
Ron, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Excellent. So I got 2 points about football, one CFL, one NFL.
Okay.
CFL, I'm already excited about this season. I think offensively, the Bombers are going to be very good this year. Listening to Andrew Harris yesterday on Hustler and Lawless is just getting my juices running. I love it. Can't wait. With the Bombers, defensively, maybe I'll just throw this over to Troy or whoever wants to answer. What on the defense do we need to do to straighten their tweak things or straighten things out? I don't know if it's Richie Hall's scheme or is it do we need some other players to come in and in different positions that you know, I'm not sure. I'm not the expert. I'm going to ask you that, and you can answer when I get off. But also the for NFL. This is all I got to say. Anyways, take care, guys.
Thanks, Ron.
You know, defensively, I don't think it's as much about personnel as it is about scheme. I think Richie Hall needs to get more aggressive. Remember coming into the season last year, people were looking at the defensive line with the additions of Shulgin and Cummings and then the unknown on the defensive end opposite of Westerman, and we're just drooling about the prospect of pressure that those guys might be able to bring to disrupt opposing offenses, and then, of course, complemented with the linebacking group for your front seven pressure, and it just never transpired. I recall, you know, there are some defenses that emphasize gap control more so than pushing up the field, and I remember that being a concern and a struggle with some of our defenses over the years that I was with the Bombers. Richie Hall was known in Saskatchewan to be a little bit too sort of passive in his aggression as far as breaking down the pocket and getting to the quarterback in Saskatchewan that led to his exit out of there. And the same so far here. To me, that holds the key to the level of success of the Bomber defense this year. Is Richie Hall, will maybe Mike O'Shea be in his ear? Is Richie Hall willing to adapt a little bit and make his defense systematically and schematically more aggressive this year? That's going to be key.
Where do you think they're weakest on the defense? Like, and this isn't a knock on anybody in particular, but like, where would you like to see the talent or the skill level improve?
I think halfbacks. I know they picked up Heath, but you just kind of wonder Bruce Johnson. They're a little bit going forward. I think it is halfback and halfback depth. Even that's to me last year. That was, if you're going to pick out a weak spot, those two, just the halfback spot would be it.
Yeah, I mean, Bruce Johnson was not good last year. It seemed like every time there was a deep ball thrown or nobody within 10 yards of coverage, it was 25 coming in to make a tackle because he let his guy get open too much. I agree with that, but I like pass rushers, man.
So
that's the way football has started to trend a little bit. And, I mean, the Broncos do it with a bit of both, right, where they have the two edge rushers, but then they also have two of the best DBs in the game as well on the outside. So you obviously need both, right? But anytime you can create pressure, especially when it's only with four, I mean, as a defensive coordinator and as a defense, it basically opens up anything you want to do out there. So like, you need both, but I would really love to see them get a couple of guys and maybe even have some sort of a presence up the middle where they're able to create some pressure in the middle of the pocket.
But the only thing I would say to that, Wicks, is that Euclid Cummings, upon arrival here, was a beast. And I really wonder, because of how basically it was like somebody hit the emergency brakes on what he was doing up front. And I really wonder, when you talk about him having 8 sacks in 2015 to 3 last year, and just to me it was, if they were emphasizing gap control, that's going to take away a bunch of the push. So I say unleash a guy, unleash Euclid Cummings and Keith Shulligan, let them go. Or if you feel you need an improvement, make it. But I think that's, even that point that you're making there, Wicks, is still more scheme related.
Yeah, and I agree with the halfback and Brandon as well. I would like to see them get to the quarterback a little bit more and force some guys to do make some quicker decisions, but it will be interesting. Ron, we appreciate the call. Boston Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. More of your phone calls when we come back on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Blues tonight at 7. Boston Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290 when we return to the Big Show on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on the Big Show, TSN 1290, TSN1290.ca. Jim Tolt, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rowicki with you on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. I'm getting a lot of support on Twitter. It's new to me.
A lot of single men without kids.
A lot of gentlemen with kids going, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with having them on the ice, but having them take part while you shoot it on your phone is, well, other people have paid up to $1,000 to sit in the stands. Well, you shoot a video of your own kid is...
The thing is, though, man, it's everything's so half-assed. I mean, there's not a lick of seriousness to it, right?
And I understand that because I detest them, too. Like, I'm not saying I'd rather see Ryan Kessler take a penalty shot. But what I am saying is you're a star in the league. You've been named an all-star. They're paying money to come see you, not you video your kid on your phone. That's not what fans have paid to be there for. And I get it's only one kid, but where do you draw the line?
At one kid, like they did.
So then is there another guy sitting there going, like, say if you're there, mm-hmm. and I do it with my son, and then 20 minutes later you're like, well, Trey would love to do this. Can he get it in on it too?
Well, they could.
And the organizers go,
like,
no,
that.
We can't.
So you hope next time around maybe something like that. There's a line to be crossed, right? I said earlier this morning, man, I would actually enjoy, because it's so half-assed to me, it's just absolutely ridiculous watching that. It does nothing for me compared to, say, a real shootout, right? There's all kinds of fun to be watched there. The way these guys approach it, so just zero enjoyment. I'd rather watch all the kids. Put a couple kids in that and let's watch the kids go at it. Like, it's just, I don't understand people that wanting to see something. But if they're serious, then yeah. But the way they half-ass it. Hey, just one quick point of from a tweet from Tammy, which I think is a fantastic point, one that we didn't bring up in trying to decipher this thing with Pavlik and Hellebuck. And a lot of people full of wonder as to why Pavlik would get the nod. And she brings up a tremendous point, I think. She's asking the question, what if Paul Maurice has seen some prima donna stuff or maybe a lack of approach as wanted by the organization out of Connor Hellebuck? I think that's a fan. We remember when Patrick Laine spoke out of line a little bit about, I'm here to save this power play that was the worst in the league last year, and kind of came at it from that angle after scoring two goals against Dallas, and then he disappears off the first team power play for a chunk of time. I think this is a question you got to ask yourself.
Nick Ehlers lays on the ice a little too long after every hit and doesn't get back in the zone, and he's dropped down a line. Like, there's this fever, as I said long ago, around this whole position in this city. And I think right now there has to be some coaching going on. And we don't know what the intricacies of this are, but just to assume that it's a blank decision for whatever, it's interesting. I'm intrigued on why the decision is being made. And I said yesterday, and I'll say again, I thought Connor Hellebuck was going to get the start tonight. But to just assume that there's nothing going on other than the team just loves Pavlik and wants to give him the chance.
I think
something going on that we're unaware of. And it could be a positive thing. It could be as simple as we're trying to drive this kid to be, you know, better. No different than a guy being dropped down a line, or a guy doesn't get as much ice time. Or they see something maybe that has nothing to do with attitude, that, like Jake Allen, they don't want it to go down that road and just want him to remain confident. So they give him a win and they keep working with him and they give him another game off. And, like, there's all these intricacies about it that for people to just go, this is the most ridiculous move ever, and the coaching staff isn't considering anything, I think that's so off the board line of thinking. Now, why it's being done intrigues me just as much as everybody else.
And we're not being told, so that leads to us and you to speculate like the Dickens. That's just the nature of the game.
Yeah.
Christian, you're on the Boston Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. So last year, the Bombers' DBs got, you know, tons of picks, tons of turnovers, but I think that overshadowed the fact that they still gave up like 350 to 400 yards passing, you know, every game. So I thought they were playing too light, but what do you think the big problem is there? Is it the D-line not getting pressure? Is it we're playing too soft, maybe a little too much zone and not pressing the receiver? Or is it a mix of both?
Yeah, well, for sure. That's the Richie Hall. Remember, they often spoke about that, right, where like between the 20s or up to the Bomber 20 anyway, they'd kind of let them eat up those chunks of yards and keeping things in front of them. Think about the last two drives in that BC playoff game. It was driving me nuts. They were just giving them, right? Making sure that they didn't get burnt by a deep play, keeping everything in front, but giving them everything, letting them come down the field. So I think it is mostly driven by a lack of push of that front seven in causing disruption. It doesn't need to be sacks, but just anyone watching those Bomber games last year, there was just way too much time in the pocket for opposing quarterbacks. And I think you bring up a very interesting point that the secondary of the Bombers had created so many takeaways last year. Remember, they didn't like the term turnovers. They like takeaway. And that was without a lot of push from that front seven. Can you imagine? So the quarterbacks are comfortable, and this secondary was able to get that many interceptions. If this front seven could make quarterbacks uncomfortable and have to throw balls before they're ready or not set perfectly, all the rest of it, the secondary would get that many more turnovers. I see it 100%, man, as this defense needs to get more aggressive, and you got to let these big dogs up front on the D-line and with the linebackers, you got to let them go and make some hay and take some risk, leaving yourself maybe a little bit vulnerable to big plays, but you got to go and try and make something happen.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's just need a little more pressure for sure, and maybe play a little more aggressive off the line. Maybe
that's right, right?
Given a 5-yard step, maybe you give a 3-yard press instead.
Yeah, and if you don't create that pressure up front, what do you do? You give a quarterback more time, which lets them dissect your secondary a little bit that much more. And I would think with cornerbacks like Randall and Frederick and whatever improvements they're able to make there, that you got to put a little bit of faith in the coverage available to you. So play a little bit tighter and try and force with that front seven. Use those guys to go get some pressure and force opposing quarterbacks into quicker throws.
Totally agree. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Christian, we appreciate the call on the Boston Pizza fan line, 780-1290. You know, it's interesting, this Kessler thing, and Jordan brought up a great point. If it was someone else's kid, let's say Weber's or Carey Price's, would we be having the same conversation?
Yeah, the poor kid's just getting ripped apart here because people can't father, stand yeah. the old man.
and wouldn't that be interesting if somebody leaned over the glass at this event and he said, your dad can't score like that or whatever.
Yeah, probably did. Probably happened.
For me, it wouldn't. For me, it's just the fact that, like, I enjoy the family aspect, having them on the ice. I've said this over and over, but to just actually take the time out to shoot a video on your phone while the entire world has to wait and watch. And I will admit, my first reaction was, oh, that's kind of, look at this little kid and what a thrill for him. But then, you know, I started thinking about it more, and I'm like, what are we doing here, like, with this event?
It was my favorite part. I thought it was super cute. Now, I said earlier this morning, in Winnipeg, I get the opportunity to present Trey with things like that every once in a while just because of, you know, some experience here and opportunities here. So I take advantage of that whenever it presents itself. I think it's a great thing. I thought it was beautiful.
Boston Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290.
We got Huss shaking his head, big no at the door. Huss, a part of the hashtag Jim Hates Kid crew.
Giving it the thumbs down. If you were being interviewed after a game at a table, so you go into the locker room, they're like, you're up on the media deck with, you know, Nichols and whoever else.
Yeah.
Would you take your son up on your lap and allow him to play with a microphone while you were trying to answer questions to the media?
No,
Who are working?
I don't think I would have if the opportunity presented itself to me. I don't think I would have. I maybe would have. Like, Trey is always around me. He comes to me with work and when we do Minute Denture Bomber game days and that sort of stuff. And, you know, I go call the rifle games with Darren Bombing. He loves to come with me. He comes to all my sports stuff. And so I love any time he wants to come with me, I try and make the allowance to allow him to come. So mm-hmm. if he was 4 years old and wanted to come with me to the press conference, I probably would. If he would have had the understanding, you got to be quiet and let daddy's at work here. You got to be quiet here. So I probably would if he wanted to, so long as he was well-behaved. And, hey, when I see the young kids up in the NBA stars' laps and they're at that press conference, I absolutely adore that. I have no problem at all with that.
Wow. Boston Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. More of your calls when we come back on Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets Game Day. Jets and Blues tonight at 7.
This is the Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN1290.
The iHeartRadio app is where you stream TSN 1290 and hundreds of other radio and digital stations. Check out the Perfect 4 menu to customize your listening experience. Your music, your station's always free on the iHeartRadio app. Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets in St. Louis to take on the Blues. Hustler has the warm-up at 2. H&L goes at 3. Rick Ralph has the Manitoba Building Trades Winnipeg Jets pregame show. And then Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets hockey starts at 7 o'clock on TSN 1290 here on Windows Winnipeg Jets. Post-game show follows. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki, at Jim Toth Sports on Twitter, at Troy Westwood on the Twitter machine, and at Brandon_Ruwicki as well. Boston Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. Mike, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Just curious, you know, you guys are going back and forth between Kessler's kid being on the ice and that. So, Jim, what's your thoughts on at the Masters at the par 3 on the Wednesday when a lot of the pros have their kids out there making pots, and those people are still paying, you know, high-end dollars to go watch the par 3 to see their favorite golfer, but they're still getting the same experience enjoying what they're getting to see.
Yeah, I don't know. What's your thoughts on it? Are you there to watch Jason Day's kid putt, or are you there to watch Jason Day putt?
I think you're there for the experience of what it is. You know, the par 3 has always been like that.
Okay, let me ask you this then. How come every kid didn't on the ice that night get to take a penalty shot? Because every kid at the par 3 gets to putt.
Not every kid. There's kids that carry, you know, dad's golf bag for them.
Yeah, but if they want to putt, they can, right? So if Kessler's kid gets to take a penalty shot, why didn't all the kids on the ice get? Why didn't we just make it a 5-hour broadcast and allow every kid to take a penalty shot?
That is kind of a different argument you're making now, though, because that's not what happened.
Well, no, it's not what happened. But if we're going to compare it to the par three, where every kid has a chance to putt if he wants to, and it's part of the experience with their father. If that's what we're going to compare it to, let's compare it that way and give every kid a shot to take a penalty shot.
See, and to me, and I'd like to know what your thought is on this. If I'm buying a $1,000 ticket to the All-Star event, I know it's all half-assed, right? Like, I'm not expecting to go see these guys out there putting everything on display at the very best of their ability. I know exactly what I'm walking into, no?
I agree, yeah.
Yeah, so I just...
So would you have enjoyed to see more NHL players' kids take penalty shots?
To me, it really doesn't matter. I think it's really about going to see your favorite player out there. So if he's got his kid taking a shot, then that's one thing. At least when you're going, you're experiencing something entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a personal choice. That's fine. I mean, you bring up a good point. I don't mind seeing a kid putt on the par three thing, but then again, I don't actually tune in to watch that either. Not the par three. I tune in to watch the Masters.
Yeah.
Now, if one of those kids could hit a hole in one, like Palmer did a couple years ago during the par three, then I'd watch.
You never know. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the way the NBA guys have their kids at the podium for 10 minutes after a game?
You know, if I watch basketball, it'd be one thing. So I can't comment on that.
Yeah, okay. Hey, Mike, you bring up a good point. We appreciate the call and the opinion.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Boss Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. More of your calls when we come back. Industrial Metals, Winnipeg Jets game day. Talking about Kessler's kid and his home video time on national TV. If it's our time and your time, Mr. Hand, or if you're here and I'm here, Mr. Hand, isn't it our time? And also the Winnipeg Jets tonight, going with Andre Pavlik in net over Connor Hellebuck. And, of course, the rest of the Jets lineup, lots of guys looking to get back into the lineup. Stafford and Perreault are on the trip. Dano and Sherratt are staying home. Dano's about 2 weeks away, and they do expect Sherratt and Myers to get back on the ice once the team returns from this three-game road trip, which starts tonight in St. Louis. This is a big week for the team. And when you set it up, and I look at this, and I know we can't say, and we went through this when they were in Vancouver for two games prior to the Christmas break, but there are no easy games and there are no easy teams. But if you're looking at the points that they have to make up and the teams ahead of them, this is a week where you need to go 3-0. If you can, or at least get points, because St. Louis isn't going to be easy in St. Louis. But if you win that game and go down to Dallas, you need to beat Dallas and you need to beat Colorado, the worst team in the National Hockey League, in Colorado on Saturday.
Yeah, I'd say you get 4 points out of these possible six this week. I think that would be solid, right? And that would be along the lines of the, you know, when you're talking about you got to win two out of every three games, that equates to 4 points in every three games. So that would fit the Rick Ralph Maritime brilliant breakdown for the remaining 30 games. But, and now on the flip side of that, come out of the gate a little bit, stumble trip in St. Louis, lose a heartbreaker, however you lose this one, and then go into a Dallas team that's reeling and trying to, they're in the same situation, even more so underperforming from what a lot of people thought this year. So they're in the exact same mindset as the Jets, playing some potentially desperate stuff here. And then you go into a Avs game on the road, lost Varlamov, have nothing going on. And maybe you go in there a little bit fat and sassy. Who knows? Like, if, for instance, if you go 0-3 this week, dead, done, out of the playoff race.
And I'll further it. You need 5 points. You need to get a point in every game.
That's
this
in
week.
Front of the Maritime math thing, though, bruh.
Well, I know, but you said 4 points, so that's two wins.
Yeah.
I think you have to beat Dallas and you have to beat Colorado. You have to take advantage of these teams. Dallas is in the same boat as you, and Colorado's the worst team in the National Hockey League. There's no easy games, I get it, but this is the week you have to take advantage of what's ahead of you. And then tonight, it's going to be tough. St. Louis is a good team, but you have to at least get a point out of that in my mind. You've got to get some points this week.
Yeah, and most years I would agree with you, but this year there is an easy game on the schedule, and that's any time you face the Avalanche. They have 28 points this year.
In theory,
when the Coyotes are 10 points clear of you, you are the easy mark on the schedule here. I would just like to see the Jets do this crazy thing called win three in a row. I know it's kind of this abstract concept here we're talking about, but you know, in a season of apparently double digit win streaks being handed out at will to teams, it'd just be nice to see them grab three in a row this week.
It's pretty wild to think Colorado has 28 points in 46 games with Varlamov.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Lord help him without.
We got to get back to the Boss Pizza fan line, but Jason's weighing in on Twitter about the par three. It doesn't cost big money, hard to get into, but it's not as expensive as an all-star game. And the par three experience has old-timers and kids in it as well. And that's an interesting part of the all-star game. I would have liked to seen some of the guys like Bobby Orr and some of that maybe take a penalty shot.
That's ageism right there.
That is ageism. I'm in a lot of trouble today, man. Jason also made the point, it's not advertised, the par three, as the best player's talent show like the All-Star Game Skills Contest is. So,
you know what? If the league made the jump or if the players made the decision to be serious about it, boy, wouldn't you guys love that? You know, like even the skills, and it's cool and stuff, but man, if somehow there is just that much more of an edge of seriousness, and how do you do that, right, with the skills competition? And like, because would you guys agree, like the shootout is a joke, it's a farce. Goalies are half-assing it, the shooters are, it's just, there's no weight to it, there's no meat to it.
Well, that was the biggest problem with the Central Division on the 3-on-3, and Bruce Boudreaux said that on the bench.
Just lollygagging.
Like, I have no idea, you know, didn't so much say it, but what Patrick Kane and Tyler Seguin were doing last night, mm-hmm. but they did not try in that game whatsoever. Yeah. And then he's like, well, I can't bench them. Like, that's the other part of this, is the players, and maybe this is where I'm going with Kessler as well. Whether you think this is a good event or not, you're there to compete and put on a show, and you should try.
Unless you
like,
make
maybe
it.
Maybe we should have a bigger problem with Patrick Kane and Tyler Seguin's effort than we do with Kessler not even mm-hmm. taking the penalty shot.
Would agree with that, but I wonder, or do you, instead of wanting it to be so serious and an absolute display of the brilliance of these players, because really, man, they could probably use the break from all the intense stuff anyway, why not make it a little bit more kid-friendly? Like, for instance, anyone that goes to the Jets skill competition, it is 100% catered to kids and family, and they do a tremendous job with it. All the kids love it, going nuts. Maybe the all-star celebrations with the skills and the game need to be more catered towards families and kids.
Go one way with it, right? Like, we'll get to Wade and Colin in a
and
second.
And we know it's not going to go the other way, right? It's not all of a sudden going to get real serious and ferocious and intense like that.
The only way you could do the serious angle on this, I think, is if you have that $1 million prize money, if the NHL earmarks that for a charity. And then you're going to have players out there,
which they were
gliding
around at the end of it. They kind of kicked into that.
I'm just
right?
saying the whole time shots. Though, like you want to lollygag it around when you're playing for a certain chair, like you know what I mean? Yeah. Like that could be, I think, the only way you put any sort of intensity. It's a lot easier to go the family take it easy route than it is to go, let's try and get these guys competing like it's an actual game.
Yeah, most of the players like Kane and stuff who have made 40, 50 million donate their game check to charity anyway, but that's an interesting point. You're not going to mess around if you're actually got something on the line for a charity. The other, I had a thought about this and now it left my mind, but we'll get back to the Boston Pizza fan line. 780-1290. Wade, you're on the Boston Pizza fan line on the Big Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have to agree with Westwood on this kid shooting that penalty shot. I don't care for Kessler to begin with, but so he probably would have missed anyway with Price, but seeing that little kid go in and Price opening the legs and putting it in the five hole, that kid will never, ever forget that. And there'll be a lot of kids out there that were saying, man, oh man, was that ever neat? Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of, you take our own gold eyes, you go between innings to the gold eyes, and it's nothing but kid-orientated stuff. And that's a serious league. But between innings, they're running with these statues or whatever and spinning on a bat and all this kind of stuff. Like, my other favorite part of that whole All-Star game, first of all, the All-Star game is for fun. I don't think it should be serious. It's fun. And if people want to pay whatever they pay to go watch the players have fun, that's a nice thing. But there was a shot of Patrick Laine standing on a stairwell, and he must have had 8 or 9 year olds around him. And to me, that's kind of what the All-Star Game should be about. And what you guys, somebody just said, maybe it should be a little more kid-orientated. I don't think we would want to pay to see the kids' skills, but whatever they can do to make it pleasant for the kids, there's the future customers of the NHL. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, we appreciate the call, Wade. And to be fair, like, everything in and around this All-Star Festivities is for kids. Like, there's fairs set up outside and meet the players and all this stuff. So that does go on. I think if Kessler really wanted to push his kid, he'd put him in the fastest skater. And let's see how that went. And then you could drive your kid to go, "You embarrassed me out there.
Oh, my goodness.
You took 20 minutes to complete that. You've got to be better." Oh, now this kid has false hope. Like, I just went 5-hole on Carey Price, and he's walking large at school today. Colin, you're on the Boston Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Hi, Colin.
Hung up after that.
We lost.
That was expected.
I don't want anything to do with that. Yeah.
I don't want to touch the fastest skater. JB brings up thought on Daryl Cates' kid being in every photo of the Oilers' first round draft pick. That's similar to the Kessler situation. Not at all. Nobody's paying there to see an NHL All Star perform a skill. That's just a guy bringing his kid up on stage and whatever. I mean, do I think it's weird that this kid is in the picture of a first-round draft pick? Yeah, but that's not the
owner,
same
you
as
can do it
taking.
If the kid wants to come up, yeah.
It's yeah, it's the owner
it's
if he
stage,
wants to do
baby.
That. So I think that's a little different, but that's I guess, a fair point. Anyways, Boston Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290 on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day as the Jets take on the Blues in St. Louis. We'll take a final break and take more of your calls when we come back on the Boston Pizza Fan Line on the Big Show, 780-1290 on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on the Big Show on TSN 1290, TSN1290.ca, Industrial Metals, Winnipeg Jets game day, Jets and Blues tonight, 7 o'clock on TSN 1290. Jim Tolt, Terry Westford, Brandon Rowicki, still taking some of your calls at 780-1290. On the Boston Pizza fan line, North End, Rick weighs in again with the whole Kessler son penalty shot all-star. If roles were reversed and Price had put his daughter in net, Kessler would have teed one up from the slot.
That's a fair point to make, yeah.
A lot of people hate Kessler, or don't like him. I shouldn't say hates.
He's one of those guys that you hate playing against, but you probably wouldn't mind having him on your own team.
Having a great season as well, hence being named an All-Star.
And enjoy it while it lasts, Anaheim. How old is he? 31, still got 4 years left
going
on that contract.
32. Yeah, that's a big deal. Oh, man. I mean, you want to talk about a team on the, you know, with the window and the door closed and shut, and they got their fingers just holding on.
They actually have 5 years left with him. 5 years left.
Jeez.
Four with Perry and Getzlaff.
Tammy has weighed in with me as well, said, "Jim, you're just jealous of everyone talking about the kids and not your sick flow." I tell you what, had I been on the ice at the All-Star game and I had a kid, nor I or the kid would wear a bucket because the flow would be flowing, man.
The Sox said that Laine did the fastest skater without a helmet on.
Thanks, Tammy.
That can't be. I mean, that's the insurance aspect and all the rest of it. I can't imagine that's the case, is it? I can't remember for some reason.
Me neither. Plus, the flow isn't that good to begin. Like, you know what I mean?
He
has good flow.
Well, are you saying compared to you or in a general sense?
Well, I'm obviously not going to make any comparisons from what we see in this room here. I'm just saying, you know, maybe the bucket isn't the worst idea in the world for the kid.
Well, that's another thing I wanted to bring up. He had a lot of product in his flow, like... There's a lot of help there.
Not natural.
Tell your kid that. Tell your kid I'm juicing a little bit here.
Cheating with hair products?
I'm really concerned at how Kessler's raising this kid, Riker. I got a lot of concerns about what's going on in the Kessler household right now.
Oh, boy.
I remember when Ryan Kessler was here as a Manitoba Moose, played 1 year here at the University of Michigan. Good hockey player. Having a great year. Mm-hmm. North Endrick says hate is not a strong enough word for Mr. Kessler.
Wow.
We'll move on. Boston Pizza Fan Line 780-1290 if you wanted to weigh in on this. Jets and Blues tonight, 7 o'clock. Andre Pavlik gets the start. Jake Allen gets the nod for the St. Louis Blues, which adds to us sort of saying no clue what's going to happen here. Looking for some consistency. Paul Maurice saying he's going with Pavlik. Says he likes his numbers against the Blues. His numbers are 5-6-1. 2.41 goals against average, 927 save percentage in 12 games. Dating back, of course, to year one of the Jets here in Winnipeg from Atlanta. And he has one shutout in those 12 games as well. Should be real interesting what transpires with them. Super Bowl 51, a lot of talk too. And, of course, we ran the Kyle Lowry comments about the travel ban being put out by President Trump in the U.S., which will affect a lot of sports. The other thing we talked about at the start of the show, guys, was LeBron James' comments towards Charles Barkley. Last night after the Cleveland Cavaliers, a loss to the Dallas Mavericks, days after Barkley called James whiny for saying the team needed another playmaker to make a repeat one at the NBA championship and asking if he doesn't want to compete to actually earn one, LeBron James said this after the game. "I'm not going to let him disrespect my legacy like that," James told ESPN. "I'm not the one who threw somebody through a window. I never spit on a kid. I never had unpaid debt in Las Vegas. I never said I'm not a role model. I never showed up at an All-Star weekend on Sunday because I was in Vegas all weekend partying. All I've done for my entire career is represent the NBA the right way. 14 years, never got in trouble. Respect the game. Print that," James added. The feud is on between Barkley and LeBron James.
I don't think you can find an athlete in professional sports who is a more upstanding citizen and a better role model. And in this day and age when we crave role models, we hope for role models, LeBron James is at the very top of the list for solid men who live a life, I think, and if your kid's watching a guy play, like for Charles Barkley to say that, question the compete level of LeBron James, and, you want to call him out for being whiny and wanting more when they got the highest payroll on all the rest of it. I understand that, right, if you deliver it in a certain way, but I dig this. LeBron James just had enough of Charles Barkley running his mouth, and now he's calling him out, and he pretty much hits it right on the head. A huge respect for LeBron James.
Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day today. Hustler has the Gondola Pizza warm-up show at 2. Hustler and Lawless will be live from 3 to 6. Rick Ralph will step in at 6 o'clock with the Manitoba Building Trades Winnipeg Jets pregame show. Jets and Blues with Paul Edmonds and Brian Munns at 7 o'clock on TSN 1290. And the Huron Windows Winnipeg Jets postgame show. Rick Ralph will also have the Don Vito Roundtable this morning at 11 a.m. Jets expected on the ice pregame skate at 11:30. He'll have the latest update for you on the lineup as well. Pavlik versus Allen tonight in the Nets. 30 games to go. Jets kick it off tonight in St. Louis. The first of three on the road. The Big Show will be back tomorrow morning at 6 to wrap it all up. On behalf of Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki, and myself, Jim Toth, we thank you for listening. And we have double passes to the sneak look premiere of John Wick 2, Chapter 2, and also have some WWE tickets to give away for this weekend as well. Callers 12 and 13 will get a set of one of those. We appreciate you listening. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. on TSN 1290 and tsn1290.ca.
This is the Big Show podcast on tsn1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekday 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.